Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Okay. Michael, you're on the air. Hi, God bless you.
Hey, how are you? Sorry, you just caught me in the middle of making a nice egg salad.
Ooh.
Hold on.
Egg salad is good.
Yeah.
I like egg salad.
Please. Listen, I want to compliment you guys on the show. Tell me, there's a show that I've heard when I was in Washington, D.C. It was a show called Jew to Jew. Do you guys know those guys? It's Dr. Ronald Goldstein and Michael Goodman, attorney at law. They have a similar show to yours. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
No, but
I like both shows. I think that both of you should get together.
I'm happy to hear that there's another show like ours. That's great. Jew to the Jew. Now
it's
believers.
Called Jew to Jew.
They're believers.
Yeah, well, the guys, they're hilarious. They're always arguing, and before you know it, the laughter ensues. Like that. Anyway,
yeah.
I have a question. It's about my sister-in-law. She decided that when her son is born, she doesn't want to have a circumcision. She's afraid that if they remove the foreskin, that they might maybe slip and slice the taint and expand the fart box into the ball sack or something like this. I don't know what her problem is, but what could I say to her?
Are you born again?
Where's your BM detector now?
Oh, I like it. I like it. Hey, this is great. We're being persecuted by a Jew. Praise the Lord. And he's belching on the radio to show how wonderful he is. Oh, that's great. So you don't like Jesus, huh?
He's fine. How's your taint?
Isn't that great? Okay. Well, good. God bless you, brother.
I love you.
I'm praying for you. That was a live phone call of a guy that had nothing else to do.
I had a feeling he was going someplace.
Yeah, me
crazy.
Too. But that's okay.
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invective and contains coarse racial slurs. Your discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Minutes to get Sabian here. Well, you'll find out just how serious I really am.
Oh, and I'm gonna believe this thing to say.
He asked for Sabian.
You know, he's not really into Ashley. That's just like his sense of humor.
What do you think Sabian can do? He can't do anything to stop this. Oh, you are one sick slut.
So find Sabian.
Do you have any idea how much therapy you people need?
Now get me Sabian!
It's fucking awful. It's a young man. A disease. Silent killer. Hey, yeah, worst place to go. Even still, and the fish you're doing, holy f***ing humiliate. So I was dying. That guy in Hollywood, too. Don something. Producer of Simpsons.
And when was the last time you spoke with him?
The last time I had contact with him, I chartered an airplane on June the 4th to fly him into... Fort Worth, Texas, where I've been.
What?
I beg your pardon?
1993.
He was supposed to get in by midnight, and I waited out at the airport till 1 o'clock in the morning. He had white hair. I'm sorry to disillusion.
How do you know? I mean, how do you know? If he didn't come in, how do you know what he looked like?
I had talked to him when he got on the plane, when I sent him money to get on the plane.
Okay.
And he had white hair, white beard, an old baseball cap, and a trench coat. And he got in at 3 o'clock in the morning. And he took off for Skid Row in Fort Worth, Texas. He wanted to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. So that was his idea.
When the tumor was dissected into tiny pieces and analyzed, pathologists found it to contain some very bizarre things.
A dermoid is an unusual type of tumor. It can contain any type of human tissue. And in fact, this patient had both hair and teeth in portions of this massive tumor.
F you, white trash.
You have no idea what your work means to me.
What does it mean to you?
That somebody out there knows what it's like being here. Just a couple of questions. How hard is that? How do you write women so well?
I think of a man, and I take away reason and accountability.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the mundus.
Quick plug, Ola. I'm Mike LaFontaine, owner and founder of High Class Management. Whoops! Comics Constant Companion. Let's start right out. Hey, what happened? As you know, back in 1970, I started on a series called What Happened? And every time something would go wrong, I would look at the camera and say, hey, what happened? We had a lot of fun with that and a lot of other catchphrases. I got a real red wagon. And I can't do my work. And I believe I was the first one to use the phrase, I don't think so. But it only lasted a year, and that's good because that's how you establish a cult.
Hi. Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Or you don't know could fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Here they are. In charge of the weather. Rained all weekend. Nice on Monday.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. Meditate. And a soul torn apart. Due to discretion advised.
Help. What the hell? Wait.
I can't do it like that.
What the hell? What the hell is going on? Hi, Buzz.
Hi. I don't know what that is.
Mike's mic is not even working.
That's not good. Oh, there's the problem.
Hello. Hey, we're all in here.
We're on the verge of something.
Man, that's
pretty.
A bad wire.
That sounds great in FM stereo.
Hey, Jesus. Come on, please, somebody.
Hello.
Hey, hi, Mike.
Hey, there I am.
Welcome.
All right, Mike's on number three, so number two is dead.
Hey, what happened?
There you go. Sorry about that. I mean, well, I apologize for it. Not my fault.
No. You're not responsible for that.
You know whose fault that is, Mike.
Hey, their fault.
No.
All right, now let's do the intro.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy, himself.
Oh, my God. Look at that table.
So
what do we have, Mike?
Your discretion advised.
I don't understand why it's not working. Look at that. Hear that wire. You know, hold on.
Let me just stop this again, because I'm trying to run the show, and you guys are over there describing what's happened.
Hey, you.
Yeah.
Don't you give me a hard time.
The microphone that Mike uses is connected to a cable.
Right. Which is connected to the shin bone.
And it looks like a bunch of very rabid mice came in over the weekend, and apparently
it's like chewed
through the cord.
It's amazing.
Once again, let me just say, job well done to everybody involved behind the scenes at this radio station for making sure that this show is ready to go on the air at 3 o'clock every day.
You know, it's always an adventure. Isn't it always an adventure?
Yep.
Always.
Crackling.
I was here on the weekend. I actually cut through the cable.
So it was you.
So, like, what are we supposed to... Oh, no, don't even come in, Wendell, because you're going to think I'm getting mad at you.
No,
it's not your fault. I think it's the silly string.
Silly string.
Yeah, why were they? Why is there silly string?
I think
there was a party today.
Because we had the celebration of the fact that
yes.
Ron and Fez have signed a contract that, frankly, I don't know. I mean, I don't get it. I like Ron and Fez, and yes. I'm all for their success.
Of course.
But I don't know why anybody would sign a contract to come in and work from 11 until noon, then go home and come back and work again from 7 to 11 at night.
I have no comment.
It's
anyway,
a gig.
Well, I know it's a gig, but it's effed up. Either give them the night show.
Yeah, like you'd do it.
Give them. Well, he would. Give them the night show.
He just gave me a look and said he would.
Give them the night show or give them the midday show.
Right.
You know, just make your decision of them. You know, how the hell are Ron and Fez supposed to figure out what they're doing in their new radio station? They're DJs here. Mm-hmm. On WJFK.
They're very funny gentlemen.
Yeah, we like them. We're very fond of them. They've been put in an unenviable position of doing a split shift, which in this day and age of radio is unheard of.
Yeah.
And, you know, they still got the 2 to 3 p.m. hour on this station where they're still playing the tapes of our old show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when I was asked about that, I said, why not just ask Ron and Fez to come in and work from 2 to 3 as well?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But even better... How about you just run Ron and Fez from 11 until 3 and just blow out the fake newscaster?
Well, why don't you put tape the fake newscaster and put them on at night or something?
Or even better, yes, even better, because I happen to listen to the Baltimore station that we're on Live 105 a lot when I'm going to the beach and stuff, you know. But I don't know their names, I'm sorry, but I like the guys that are on during the day. On Live 105.
Well, there you go.
Why don't you just run them on this station and let Ron and Fez be on at night and you know, run the fake newsman like at midnight?
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Me too.
I haven't heard the guys in Baltimore.
I like them. I think they have a real good show.
What are their names? Lenny and Squiggy?
One of their names is Bill. That's all I know.
Okay.
Anyway.
Do you like them even more than you like O'Reilly, though?
Oh, that's hard. You know, Rob, are you talking about Bill O'Reilly on the radio? Are you talking about Bill O'Reilly on TV? Or are you talking about the fantastic bargain that is BillO'Reilly.com, where you pay to join his website?
Wow.
I don't know.
He's a conglomerate.
I don't know which I like, and I hope I know Father's Day is coming up.
Yeah, O'Reilly Omnimedia.
I hope that my family has ordered me the Bill O'Reilly... What do you call them? Welcome mats?
Uh-huh.
I'm not making this stuff up.
They know.
Also, the Bill O'Reilly T-shirts and special for Father's Day. You can order your copy of whatever his latest book is, personally autographed to your dad.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's
very nice.
I wouldn't have gotten into all of this today if the microphones had just worked.
Right. I hate silly string. God, I hate silly string.
It's too silly.
My kids love it, but I hate it.
Don't hate silly string.
No. I'm sorry. You know, I don't want to be a curmudgeon. I don't mind bubbles. I don't like silly string.
That's where you draw the line.
All right, I'm not going to restart the whole show.
Okay.
But let's just take it up from, you know, why is this we're doing a show and we have to, like, stop it? To restart it because everything's broken every day.
Well, you know how, like, with concerts and with theatrical productions, they go through and they check everything before the show.
This is
a show. We're technically in show business.
We're not.
That's not done here.
No.
That's not done here. Things aren't checked before we go on the air.
But we have to assume that the microphones worked. We would have to assume.
But Rob, when you assume, you make an ass out of
you and me.
Okay, so.
Now I understand.
No, I mean, I really think, seriously, you know, to go through each microphone to do a, even though the engineers will tell you you're never supposed to blow into a microphone.
If
but
you do
go,
that, the wire rips.
We've been on the air for 10 minutes, and all we've done is discuss this. Here we go. Can we do the, your guys coming in?
The men came in, but
they came in.
Hold on. Wendell has just come in. See, now, Wendell, this is how he starts it. He'll come in and very innocently, our engineer, Wendell Hall,
he's a mixer,
put a little thing on my piece of plastic in front of me that says, sound checks are for sissies. I'm going to now, and Wendell, don't get mad, because I'm not writing about you, but I'm going to cross out sissies and write professionals.
You know when I first found that little thing there?
Where? When?
Right after Mike got mad because we were having too many sound checks with the band.
Thanks, Adam.
You can't win.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, there's lots of behind-the-scenes dynamic happening today.
So.
There is that we can't tell you about.
Yeah, Wendell used to be my sound guy for the band.
Rob, where's that big machine where I can just get in and turn back time? Oh, like Cher.
Yeah. Oh, no.
If I could turn back.
Turn it back.
No, I don't want to turn back time.
Let's do it.
I'm not going to do the whole open all over again. We'll just pick it up from when your guys came in.
Right. Well, that'd be the third time now we've played those guys.
Well, I wasn't going to play them again, Mike. I just said we'll pick it up from when they came in.
How I feel about them.
Give them the 2 to 3 o'clock hour.
What?
What's that?
Okay, so. There you go.
Wow, and good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Beautiful Sunny Day, huh? And all the ships at sea. Hey, Tony Love, Don Geronimo, and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. Thank you, Robin. Hello, and thank you for listening to, I'll say it, the worst radio show in the world, the Don and Mike Show. We're the worst. Which sucks so bad. We're the worst. Phone number. If the phones are working, let me All right. 877-365-3636 from anywhere in America. From Canada.
Oh.
Yeah, I know you hate the Canadians.
Boo!
800-636-1067. Hey, way to go, Mike.
You're welcome.
And DC 202-432-1067.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Hi, Buzz. And start by just saying... And then you gotta say...
Is anyone listening?
I don't think so.
Hey, what happened?
Yeah, I agree.
Someone called for a doctor?
Yeah, and there you go. That's
how you do it. That's the open to the show.
May I say happy birthday to Catherine. My daughter is 8 years old today.
Yeah, happy birthday, Catherine.
We had a birthday party, a little dinner for her last night. She will have another birthday party Saturday and then another one in a week. She's getting three of them, and happy birthday to Catherine.
Mike, I'm sorry.
What is up on the roof here?
No, here's, I'm just, now I'm in this thing where I'm looking around and I'm counting.
The streamers?
No, I'm counting. Mm-hmm. There's one... Two, three, four, five lights in the studio that are out. Like the lights that give us light here in the studio.
Burned out bulbs.
Five burned out bulbs. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Happy birthday, Catherine.
Happy birthday to Catherine.
Big number 8 for Catherine.
No,
it's a big deal for you and a big deal for her. And congratulations.
Yes, very happy for her. And she had a very good birthday.
Good. Yeah.
She went to the Japanese restaurant where she got to ring a gong. That was her choice. That's where she wanted to go.
Did you bang it?
She banged a gong.
Banged a gong and bang a gong or the
bang. Get it on.
Get it on. Rob. I love you, yeah. Rob got a very rare phone call from me, incidentally, on was it Thursday night or Friday?
Friday.
Where I actually called Rob up and someone should just get a time capsule with this piece of tape. Because it was me saying, I'm sorry.
Really?
Yeah, well, I think on Thursday's episode, when I was all caught up in this thing with my adoptive parents,
right.
At one point I was looking for a tape, and Rob had moved, so I just turned around and said, you are so stupid.
Right.
And, you know, I didn't mean it, and he knew that I didn't mean it, but I had to call him to say I was caught up in the moment.
Good to say.
Just caught up in the moment and didn't mean it. Stupid. So, before we get to the weekend, and I got some weekend stuff to get to.
Right.
What, is there a problem with that, Mike?
No.
No, come on.
No, there's no problem at all.
Okay, well, your body language is indicating
No, I'm just kind of just positioning myself so that I'm comfortable with this new short microphone. And it's fine. I'm actually very comfortable.
You don't look comfortable.
Oh, man, that's just your imagination playing tricks on you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to be comfortable.
I'm always comfortable. I'm always comfortable once I get here. You know, really, this is quite a sanctuary. I know you feel the same way. There are many days like today where I consider this place to be quite a sanctuary.
Amen.
And I know that on Mondays you have a lot to get off your chest, and I'm refraining because I'm having another one of those Mondays where I'm really, and I don't want to do that because it's not what I do. I'm jolly, I'm happy, and I do funny voices, and I'm going to talk about the lady at the card store that pissed me off.
Hold on, listen, before you start, and I'll give you plenty of time.
Okay.
I want to address at least one thing to at least. Get some closure here.
Very good.
On something that I started last
week. That's why I wasn't saying anything, because that's probably the source of my discomfort.
What?
That's why I know you've got stuff you got to get off your chest on Monday. That's what we do, and that's why I was looking uncomfortable because I got all this stuff.
Some of it I can wait for.
Now, you don't need to wait. This is not a monumental thing that I'm talking about here.
Okay. You sure?
Well, it's just top of mind because it just happened a little while ago, but I'm fine. I'm fine. I mean, it's a simple question. Do you wrap gifts in the card store?
Uh-huh.
You know,
I would guess the answer is no.
No, the answer is yes.
Oh,
I was made to feel like it was some sort of favor, even though I paid $5 for one package, $10 for the other one, and walked away feeling as though someone was doing me some kind of favor. She said, well, you might have to wait and come back later. I said, well, how about 7 o'clock? That gives you a 5-hour window.
Golly.
And it was just too much. And, you know, I'm just finding living around here has become very stressful for me. I'm really getting pissed off at people, and it's starting to really... It's just everybody wants, nobody wants to do. You know what I mean? Everybody wants your money, nobody wants to give anything.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Because me, I always, you know me...
It's just ridiculous.
I'm a glass half full guy, not a glass half empty guy, Mike.
I know.
You know that.
I understand that. I understand it. Just a lot of my life...
I like walking on the sunny side of the street.
It's just a lot of my life is coming down to this last couple of weeks, and it's all weighing heavily on me, and I'm trying not to go off because I'm really, really ready to go off. I'm really ready to just go bat F.
Listen, you're going to have to save it.
Because, I know.
Because today we have... Well, and if you want a break to just cut loose... Well, now, why are you putting the microphone
on? I'm not. I'm fine. I'm doing fine. It's just I'm using this forum far too often to get things out of my system, and I shouldn't do that. That's your thing.
No, it's your thing, too.
You know, it's really not all the time. It's once in a blue moon. It's what makes it kind of special. But now it's just, you know, just a lot of stuff. And it's nothing bad. It's just a combination of things. Waiting. I'm waiting for everything. I'm waiting for everything. Things I'm waiting to sell, things I'm waiting to buy.
Are you waiting for Guffman?
I'm waiting for Guffman.
Okay.
I'm waiting for Godot.
Gotcha.
But everything, you know what? The most important thing.
Like the waiting is the hardest part.
The most important thing is my daughter had a good birthday celebration yesterday, and she had a good morning this morning. You know, it's kind of tough because she's got her final exams, and it's, you know, it's tough. I'd hate to have a birthday when I had to go take a test, and she did, and I felt kind of bad about that.
I had to when I had my final exams.
Mm-hmm.
Test for VD.
Yeah, when you were...
Well, it's 16. I passed.
Good for you. I'm happy for you. But how...
That's a joke.
You had teased a moment ago that you were... I know. You didn't have VD when you were 16.
I had it when I was 18.
Much later, yes.
You were talking about, like, closure or something, and I'm curious, and I know everybody that heard you last Thursday was curious
now,
whether there's closure.
But thank you. Thank you for the setup, but see, you normally don't do that.
No, I don't set you up at all.
No, you don't.
You just sort of dive right in.
Okay.
I'm fine. They took my microphone out, and I'm sitting in a weird position. And I think that's why you're a little freaked out, because I'm like at this weird, around.
I want you to be comfortable.
I am comfortable. I'm just a little frustrated. I'm a little frustrated with almost everything right now. Almost everything that's going on of any significance in my life, outside of my beautiful children, it's driving me crazy. It's driving me insane.
Right.
But other than that, there's nothing.
Who can't relate to that?
Who can't relate to that?
Right.
You know, it's just, I hate to keep saying it's here, but it's here. It's because we're all here. It's too many people all doing something at the same time.
Now we're back to last week again with you.
What's that?
With the thing with... You live in a highly populated area in a major metropolitan city. Even if you live out in the suburbs, even as far out as you've... Everybody's everywhere now.
Yes.
Right?
I agree.
I mean, I complain about it too, but I
agree, and I guess everybody this weekend celebrate. Everybody has a child that turned 8 this weekend too. I mean, it's just a little odd to go into a store where they, you know, under the guise of the fact that they sell birthday cards, and to not only not have the eights are all gone, but all the envelopes were there, which I always love in a card store.
They torture you, yes.
But then to go to another card store, and apparently card stores are just, they've got more business than they need. They don't need to help you. They don't need to be, you know, they're just, they've got everything they
need. That's why God invented Walmart. I want to tell you something. My wife had a birthday over the weekend.
And I normally don't buy cards at Toys R Us, but I decided that I would look at Toys R Us because they have, you know, they're selling cards. But you know what? They shouldn't. They should stick to toys because they had none. None. No birthday cards for kids. They had goddaughter. If I'd had a goddaughter, it would have been, you know, I would have been cake. Because they had 50 cards for goddaughters, but they had no, you know, and it was just that one little thing. And you know...
You're wound up, man.
I've just got a lot going on. But it's trivial because the little things I'm doing, everybody has sold a house before. Mm-hmm. Everybody's bought a car before. And, you know, the fact that I don't have a car or a sold house is trivial. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that I'm just waiting on a bunch of things to happen. It's just, I'm sorry. I'm rambling, aren't I? Do I sound like I'm a psychiatric patient? Do I sound like maybe this is...
That's right.
This is the big meltdown right now. It's all today. All came down today.
Okay.
You know, and then it just culminated when I went to the other card store and I said, oh, by the way, do you wrap gifts? Well,
now, listen, who am I to say? I make my living complaining, but I'll tell you, that my wife had her birthday on Saturday, 48th birthday. Mm-hmm. I got her a card at Walmart, which incidentally...
So you think if I went to Walmart, I would have been in heaven?
Here's the thing. I got a card at Walmart that I'm positive she thinks that I went to, like, some Hallmark store to find, because it said exactly what I needed. Mm-hmm. Now, they don't wrap it at Walmart, but they got a mile... of wrapping paper, of every type of wrapping paper that you could ever want, and they got the scissors and all of the tape, and we just went home and did it myself. Got the whole goddamn thing done.
Right.
Boom. Lickety split. That's all. I think.
So you think Walmart would have helped me out?
Or in your case, Target. You're a Target guy.
Yeah, but you know what? Walmart the toys in Target are not. You know, your Targets and your WalMarts don't. They yes. Do they carry toys? Yes, but they don't carry the extensive selection that would allow me to get something special for my daughter. So that's why. And I just was on a lark. I said, hey, cards too. And I was kind of like, wow, two birds with one stone. And then when they didn't have the cards, it was one thing. And then when I went down, this sounds so trivial as it's coming out of my mouth. People don't care about this. My life is fine. I'm great. Everything. You know what? Things could not be better. Everything is very, very good.
Okay.
This lady irritated me, and I will get this off my chest, and I will be done with it, and you can proceed.
No, go ahead.
With what you want to do, whatever you want to do. I will not set you up.
No, don't worry.
I will tell you, here's the deal. They do gift wrapping, okay, at this little card store. They do the gift wrapping, right? So my point is simply this. If they do it, and if I'm paying for it, and they do it that I'm paying for only if I buy the wrapping paper at their store, then they should do it gladly. As though they shouldn't do it like they're doing me a favor. Because are they doing me a favor if I'm buying the wrapping paper at their store and they're charging me to wrap the... should they act like they're doing me some sort of favor?
Maybe
that's not... what... And it was tiny, but it just pissed me off.
But again, this is something that I know we've discussed on the show. The general laziness and aloofness of everybody that works in any kind of service industry in America.
Yeah, yeah. And it was not even... She reminded me a little bit of Martha Stewart.
Wow.
She was a little Martha Stewart-esque. Yeah. And it was like... I walked out and I got into my car and I said, boy, I just should have said something. I should have said, you know, excuse me, I'm paying for this, right? I mean, you have it in your little window that you do this. That's why I drop by. I mean, normally I wouldn't do that. But, I mean, I figured, why not? Give it a shot. And then I got into this whole discussion, and at the end of it, and then I said, there are two gifts, okay? Two gifts about yay big. What would you say that is? Maybe 18 inches by,
yeah,
by 12 inches?
Right, right.
And then another one even smaller, like a third of that. Two gifts. And I said, she said, well, you're going to have to come back later. I said, 7 o'clock. And I just didn't think that 5 effing hours was too much time to wrap two gifts, even if you're shorthanded, and it's the week before Father's Day. And I wanted to say, gee, are people knocking down the door to buy Father's Day gifts in the card store?
I'm sorry, I'm melting down. I really am. And this microphone sucks. But other than that, I'm fine. Right. Say something. Cut it out. No. Cut it out. I'll get it off. No, I feel so much better
I'm
right
gonna,
now.
I'm not going to start.
No,
after your well, problems on Thursday.
No, no, no. And
it's
not,
sounds like
it's
nothing.
Not
from, no. The point is, I'm going to start, and then you're going to start.
No, I'm
so
done.
I just want you just go
I'm
ahead.
I'm getting it out of my
It's your show, dude. Let it go.
It may be on the larger scale of things that there's an awful lot of stuff that I'm responsible for that used to be kind of a joint effort. And I think that is a little frustrating, too. That's a little frustrating, too.
And diarrhea.
But anyway, it's, you know.
Yeah, you're mad, but you're not so mad that you can't stop and
never
say
that
hi.
Angry.
You can't stop to say hi at a hot Rhea who now, just walked down the hall.
Always like to say hi.
Yeah.
But,
you know what I think might help you?
It's also been a year. It's pretty much the year anniversary of me being on my own. And it's, you know, we're getting along very well, but it's, you know, it's over.
I know we had this discussion last week that you don't feel comfortable coming in and doing the show. Like, if I'm not here like I wasn't for Friday for Bart's graduation.
Making the case against that, am I?
No, no. But have you ever thought about, you know, we've got this 2 to 3 hour. Why don't you just take it and just for an hour? Don't even take phone calls. Just get on and get it all out of your system. Just bitch and moan and complain. I mean, it's how I've made my living
right.
for over 30 years now.
Right, yeah. Well, you let me do enough of it that I get enough, and I think I'm satisfied. I certainly don't want to come in from 2 to 3. I think we've established that, haven't we?
Yeah, okay.
I mean, really, you know, I'm very satisfied with the small opportunities I get. It's just that, in a nutshell, in any service industry, anything you buy, you shouldn't be made, if you're paying your hard-earned dollars for it, you shouldn't be made to feel as though somebody's doing you a favor.
Right.
Because they happen to not run their business efficiently enough to have enough staff, or whatever the case may be.
Did you ever... Never mind. But did you? I
had like 8 examples of that today where people are just so non-helpful.
Did you ever just think I'd just buy the wrapping paper, take it to work, and just wrap it myself?
Yeah, I did. I was actually going to do that today. And, you know, I only had to wrap 2 gifts, and I'm perfectly capable of wrapping a gift.
Right.
I wanted, you know what it was? I like it sometimes when it's done by somebody who does it all the time because it's just that nice and fancy. I want it to be a little better. I do kind of a crappy job of wrapping gifts, and I wanted it a cut above. That was the only reason I did it. I've wrapped plenty of gifts.
A personal question?
Yes.
Did you, like, not drink or something this weekend?
Why?
I'm just wondering. You just a little more wound up than normal.
No, I had a Japanese beer last night at dinner. One.
See, maybe that's...
Well, I should have had 10. With my daughter's birthday, I should have gotten drunk.
No. But at some point over the weekend, you normally have...
There's stuff that I really... That you know about that is so trivial and is so part of my life that... But it's a laundry list of several things that are going on for me right now that are all coming together at one time, and it's this... Back and forth, waiting game, waiting on people, relying on people, and it's very frustrating because things are moving very, very slowly in every area, and I'm just a little frustrated. Other than that, I'm 100% fine. And you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe I need a little toddy. You know, maybe, you know, Rob manages his alcoholism very well by going home and having, you know, 6 or 7.
Robbie, I tell you what, and this is highly unprecedented, but I swear to God I mean it. Go up to the office and make Mike... Just a short one right now.
All right.
We've got it upstairs.
Got a cold emergency Bex in the fridge.
That's correct. Love
Bex?
Yes. Yes, I would. Thank you. Thank you, Don. Oh. I appreciate that.
I think you're just a little overwhelmed by...
It's a lot of stuff.
...the events in your life.
A lot of stuff going on. You know, in general, everything's on target. I'm just frustrated.
See, the thing is, here's...
There's a lot of things. You know what? I could come in tomorrow and literally
everything could be where I want it to be. You know,
or it couldn't.
Or it could be just another day of with nothing happening. You know, there are some major purchases involved in my life right now. There are major sales involved in my life right now. And it's just, it seems to be going. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
So I just want to get stuff done. You know me, I'm like you in that way. I like to get stuff over with. I like to get stuff done, closure, get it completed. I'm done. I'm out. I'm fine. Still wouldn't mind that beer, though.
How long till that beer gets here?
Joe is on it right now. On it.
And Joe?
Why'd you put Joe on it?
Well, I have to get the spots ready.
There it is. There's another example of it. You know?
You don't mind waiting.
Guy wants a cold beer. Guy can't come to work and have a cold beer.
Oh,
how so?
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah. Mike, you sound like you've been sleeping good. You sound like you're strung out on coke, man.
Strung out on coke. I'm not strung out on anything except music.
Don and Mike, hello. Hello.
Yeah, I'm fine. I really am. I'm fine.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm not nervous or I'm not uptight. I'm just frustrated.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don?
Yeah.
How you doing, buddy?
Okay, my friend.
I was the guy who hung the sign out at you down in Easton today.
Ah, yeah.
The guy hung a sign out for you?
Yes.
Yeah.
A trucker. A very nice trucker. Wearing.
I know Mike doesn't like us and all that kind of stuff.
Listen, I'd love to share this with everybody, but Mike's having a private conversation with Charlie right now.
Charlie was miscommunicating with me like he always does. He was holding one thing and then pointing at me and staring. What do you have? Are you icing your finger?
Yes, I'm icing my finger. I brought you your goddamn beer is what I did.
I don't need that. You know, I could use a little support. I really could use a little support.
What night was that?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Charlie came out. And Charlie came out and saw the band. Yeah. Yeah, great turnout.
What's wrong with your eye?
All right. What do you mean?
Under here.
What?
The other one.
It's what, here?
Puffy and dark.
What?
It's puffy and dark.
No.
But it is bruised or
it's not. I always have raccoon eyes.
Not like that.
All right, I'll check it.
Oh, you get bad when I say you have raccoon eyes.
I know, but you said it, and that's why I said I'll take a look at it.
Okay, fine.
God, I didn't have sunglasses today, and the pollen's killing me.
Do I look blurry?
No, you look fine.
Thanks.
That helped.
Wow.
This is not a twist-off bottle.
Oh, dear.
I don't know how I'm going to open it. Oh, Rob, to the rescue.
We have an opener for you, Mike.
All right.
What does it say that not only do I keep a bottle opener ready, but also a cold emergency beer?
All right.
There you go.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right.
It's a sound of relief right here.
Bowery Beck's. Bremen, Germany.
That's good.
Okay.
I'm there. I'm fine. Great. Thank you, Rob. It's so cold. Thank you. Happy Monday, everybody. Monday.
Yeah.
Hello?
Is this
the dude with the truck?
Yeah, man. How you doing?
Okay. Hi.
I just wanted to let you know that, you know, that, you know, you've provided many good years to a lot of truck drivers in this area of good radio. And I know Mike doesn't like us. And
no, there's nothing wrong with amusing you guys as you're hurtling that tons of metal down the highway at 90 miles per hour.
I want to tell you something. This guy was driving a big 18-wheeler today. I was on my way back from Ocean City. This guy was driving maybe 62. He was not speeding at all.
Perfect.
I pull up to a light, and he holds up a... What are you doing? He's just staring at the beer.
No, I was just having a little taste. It's pretty good stuff.
Anyway, pull up to
not
the light.
Not skunky in the least.
Pull up to the light. The guy holds up a sign that says, great show.
Oh, that's good. Nice, and I appreciate it.
And I got the windows open, and I got the sunroof open, and I gave him the big thumbs up. I said, well, thank you. You know, I said, trucks move America.
You hold that sign up with two hands, sir?
I held it up with one, as a matter of fact.
We were at a stoplight, Mike.
Oh, you were at a stoplight.
That's right, Mike. I'm sorry. We were at a stoplight.
Okay.
I did have my seatbelt on, and everything was
all right. What do you haul, CW?
I'm hauling advertising for Sears and Roebuck is all I do.
Okay.
Listen, don't listen
one
to him.
One must be careful with an 18-wheeled death machine.
Don't listen to him. He's just falling apart today.
Oh, I know. I mean, he's having a hard time with it, and I've been through the situation that he's going through, and I know how he feels. But just want
to
let you guys know.
Listen, thank you very much. I had a pleasure meeting you on the road today.
Thanks, Don.
Bye-bye.
Hey, good things do happen to people coming home from the ocean.
There you go.
Hey, yeah.
Thank you.
Put that on the list. Bye-bye. Yeah, you hit the lottery.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
How you doing, Don and Mike?
Okay.
All right. Hey, Mike, you remind me of that part in Shallow Hal.
I saw Shallow Hal on the guide over the weekend, and I didn't watch it, and I've never watched it. Is that worth watching, Shallow Hal?
Yeah, I told you.
Is that the one with George Costanza you were talking to Patton Oswalt about?
Yeah, with the dog, where he's got a dog's...
I'm going to check that out.
A dog's tail. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, you're on the air.
Mike?
Yes, beautiful.
Hey, I can help you out with that frustration, number one. Number two, baby.
Oh, hey man, I feel like I'm walking into a scene from Kingpin.
Now I want to let you know I did call when you were very upset around the holidays to try to ask you out, and they wouldn't let me talk to you. They thought I was a guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, hung up on her.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Well, we give them all a raise.
Hello.
Hey, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to your downward spiral kind of for about a year now. I just want to make a request that you. Just break down between 12 and 3 Pacific Standard Time.
Like break down totally? Like sobbing during the show. Thank you.
Shut up. You. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm fine.
How many grams of carbs are in that beer? Because I know you're on the Atkins diet.
Now, why does everybody call him?
He's right. It's gone. I had two sips. It's done. I won't touch it now.
Go get him that Michelob.
Mike, you got to have that Michelob Ultra.
No, you're absolutely right, and it works.
No carbs in that.
2 grams.
Trust me.
Yeah, I'm fine. That was enough to take the edge off. I'm doing fine.
God bless you, Mike.
God bless you.
I'm on your side.
You know, you are, and that's great. And I feel better. That's somebody who really helped today. I feel like somebody really helped me out, and I really...
I'm trying to help.
I know you did.
I'm very trying to help.
I feel the quant. I'm fine. Everything's fine.
We're here.
How are you?
Well, we have to break. But I'd be glad to tell you.
I'm ready to listen. I really am. I'm really ready to listen.
Let's break. Let's take our first break of the day. We'll come right back. This is I've just gotten off the phone with Billboard Magazine. They've already called in and said that today has been nominated for the best radio show of the year.
Oh, hallelujah. Right.
Everything from...
I knew it was hopping.
From the equipment breaking today. Everything. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Mike, I'm a big fan, but I wanted to let you know that I find it disturbing that when you have in your time of need that you resort to alcohol.
God,
these are signs of, you know.
Shut up.
Are you a trained therapist?
No, sir, but I listen with it.
Seriously, why don't you paint my tape?
We all need a timeout right now. We'll say that, and then we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Microphone's back. I'm in my traditional reclining position. I feel much better.
Good.
That's very important to me. Everything's fine.
Good.
Got some news during the break, which is, fine.
Well, now, what was it? What news?
Yeah, the thing I was talking to you about earlier in the office.
Which thing? The...
Yeah.
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 Is she giving the finger? So it was. Well, then, nobody knows.
Oh, I think there are people listening. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're a complicated man.
Well, you know, that's you. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you in code?
Yeah, right. They
did their. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. So that's that.
Well, Hal, write it down if you don't mind. Sorry, we're doing a show in code today. I'm sorry, Mike's having a
it's business to take care of. Rough. I'm going to give you.
Okay, you don't even have to tell me what you're writing down.
Price.
I understand.
Okay.
Is that what?
That's price.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to give you. Offer.
Now, is that then what they originally?
No. Counter.
Oh, okay. So, okay. That's what you counter with. What do they counter with? Well, so you counter again. That's how the game is played.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
He's selling a house.
Keep playing. Okay.
Even I know that. I'm a dumb guy.
Right.
That you counter back.
Yeah, right? I know.
But let it go for four.
I will. I am. And this is going to be my little sanctuary.
Welcome. Try to let it go.
I'm fine.
And who am I to say? Who am I to say? Everything bothers me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're allowed.
Absolutely.
You're allowed. Take your day.
Hear, hear.
Anything else?
No, I'm fine. I'm good.
You sure?
No, I'm fine.
But no, I mean, I don't doubt that you're fine, but I just... Anything else?
Yeah, but it's too heavy to mention. It's way too heavy to mention, so I'm not going to get into it.
Well, what is
and that's another factor, too.
You've made him curious.
You know, a very good friend of mine died, and I'm very bummed about that, too. So, I mean, you know, that's it. So, other than that, I'm fine.
Okay.
You know, so everything will be very fine.
Gotcha.
I'm fine.
Okay.
It's been a day. It's Monday.
Okay. So
now go ahead.
No.
Why are you... No. Why you think there's more, and there's not. There's really not anything more.
I know you pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think that there's more bubbling under the surface.
No, there's really not. There's really not.
And I know we can just hang up on all these calls right now, Joe, because these calls will not help.
No, it's people poking fun.
Yes.
But I'm not in any great misery. I was just, in fact, I was just on the phone with my ex, and she said, "You're funny." You know, so, I mean, it's lighthearted. It's right. It's nothing really... It's nothing really bad.
She's probably enjoying your pain.
No, of course not. Laura, you're not enjoying my pain, I hope. No, I hope you're not.
I mean, she's probably having a beer right now.
I hope. Nah, she doesn't drink.
Well, maybe it's special occasion.
She used to, when we were together, she used to drink just because she felt like she had to.
Maybe she's having an O'Doul's now. A non-alcoholic beer.
No, she's probably drinking that that water with the vitamin C in it or whatever. You know, that energy water. That's mm-hmm. that okay. Stuff that Charlie drinks.
Okay. Listen, Joe, I was serious when I said clear the lines out. Because Mike doesn't need to know if his prostate is okay. Mike doesn't need to know that you think he's whining. Mike doesn't need to know.
No, that would piss me off.
Mike doesn't need to know that someone thinks he needs therapy.
Uh-huh. Well, I've been there, done
Mike
that.
Needs to go back on Paxil.
No listen, way!
Listen, he's having a day.
Yes, I'm entitled.
Yeah. Let him have a day.
And really, it's not quite that bad.
But it isn't. It isn't. It's
well, actually, hey, it's sunny. It's sunny out.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Happy Monday.
No rain.
Yes, it is. No rain today. Mm-hmm. It's going to be nice tomorrow. Then it's going to rain for another 5 days in a
right,
row.
Through the weekend.
At least that's what I've heard already. So, let me see now. Boy.
When we last left you, you were having a day.
I'm figuring out the clock. I'm figuring out how not to. Yeah, I'm fine. I can do this and then do that, which will segue right into.
And I mean it when I ask you, how are you?
I'm going to tell you what I'm doing now is trying to figure out. I want to briefly discuss the resolution with Francis. Then I want to discuss my son's graduation and some things that happened and some nutty stuff that happened to me on the weekend. I want to talk to my wife about her birthday, and that will segue into Lisa Herndon's bridal shower, of which my wife and Robbie's wife and Buzz's wife went to, that included trivia about Charles Broyhill.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I have the questions today. My wife was telling me this stuff this weekend, and I was just absolutely going number one in my pants, laughing at the depth of Charles Broyhill.
Right.
Everything besides his favorite color, his favorite place to be, his favorite food, what he loves best about Lisa, mm-hmm. what he would like to change about Lisa.
Wow.
All of these things, very interesting for a young man.
And we've got all this information?
Yep, that he's getting married in something like 3 weeks.
That's going to be terrific.
So, listen, Thursday, and I apologize, I had a meltdown Thursday, again, about my friggin' parents, and I was able to come to a resolution with this.
Good.
I told you I received this letter from Francis on Thursday.
Right.
That said, you know, ooh, Brian, Michael, and I've got, you know, I've got plenty more proof. So, we got done with the show, and I'm going to the mall to pick up my new suit for my kid's graduation, which was on Friday. And I just thought, I'm just going to get it out in the open with this broad once and for all. I call her up and I say, "Hello, Francis, it's me." She says, "What can I do for you?" I said, "I read your letter on the air today. And I really, Mike, you think you lost it or you didn't lose it or you were going through something right there?"
Right.
"You should have heard me. I don't think that I've ever screamed as much or as loudly as I did when I was speaking with, and I'm not going to call her my mother anymore because she's not my mother, but with the woman who raised me for 16 years. I am absolutely not going to refer to her as mother anymore. For most of our conversation, I referred to her as bitch." I said, "Listen, bitch, you sent me a letter to work to try to flip me out. Congratulations, you flipped me out. Now, in your letter, you are inferring that there's some grand secret about somebody named Brian Michael. I talked about it on my radio show today with my wife. No secrets from her, no secrets from our listeners. If you are inferring that I have a child that I don't know about, please tell me." And as it turns out, that was a bluff.
Mm-hmm.
She got nothing. Mm-hmm. She's got nothing. Yeah. I said, so we got past that. I said, "Okay, bitch. So, you try to screw with my head on that. Then you write, you have other stuff on me. What do you got? Bring it on, because I'm tired of you playing these games with me." I mean, I was really screaming at her, and I was saying stuff like, if you wanna fight with me, I'm going to fight with you, and I want to tell you something. I'm meaner, I'm nastier, I'm tougher. I will absolutely stomp on you until you are absolutely laying on the ground begging my forgiveness." And I said, "And I am not speaking physically, I am speaking mentally. You want to F with me, I'm going to F with you."
Mm-hmm.
"Now, bitch," and keep in mind, this has been bottled in for, 44 has been bottled in. I said, "What do you got? Because all you want to do is try to F with my life the way you F with my brother's life. You got something on me, and that's the only reason that you've contacted me now. What do you got?" And she said, "Well, what about when you were in Providence, 1978, incidentally, mm-hmm. what about when you were in Providence and you had that car repossessed?" I said,
"Oh, wow.
You think that that's a gigantic state secret? Call the Washington Post and tell them I had a car repossessed. I've said that on the radio."
Mm-hmm.
"Well, what about the bankruptcy?" I said, "I've said on the air, it's common knowledge.
You talked about your past.
That I was bankrupt at one point."
Sure did.
"Happens to a lot of people."
So she kept going after that.
She wouldn't stop. She said, "I remember one time when you were living in Indianapolis, when you bounced a rent check."
I said, "Oh, that's sad."
And now I'm saying, "Listen," and I'm not saying it, I'm screaming it.
Yeah.
"Listen, bitch, you've got nothing. You're old. You're pathetic. I don't want any contact with you. I tried to be civil with you on whenever it was last Monday or over the week, whenever it was when I originally talked to you when you sent me the letter saying that Sam's in the hospital. And I asked you at that time, do you want me to come down there? And you said no. So exactly now, when you send me a threatening letter to work indicating that you have some type of secret about me that you're going to reveal, and really you don't have anything, bitch, what do you want from me? And here's what she said. I want you to call your father, who's not my father, and that's been pointed out to me by both of them many times.
Right.
I want you to call him and apologize. I said, apologize for what? Apologize for being such a disappointment.
Wow.
And it was at that point that I just said, listen, first off, you're mailing me through the United States mail. Everything that I have said on the radio about you and about what's happened between us is the absolute gospel. You've got nothing on me. I want nothing more than for you to stay out of my life. I've requested that. I had to send a letter from a lawyer. I said to her, at what point do you think it might be you, that you have two kids who come from totally different backgrounds, and I want nothing to do with you because you're so screwed up, and your other son had to get a restraining order? She said, well, now, you don't know all about that. When we were in court for that, and I said, stop right there, you crazy bitch. You were in court because your other son had to get a restraining order against you. I said, just stop it. So finally, I said to her, here's what we're going to do. And I got a tape recorder. So I'm going to tape this phone call. So I hook up that little portable tape thing to the output of my cell phone. I said, I'm recording this now. Are we in agreement that we want nothing to do with each other ever again? Nothing would make me happier. You're a mean, awful person. I never knew. I said, listen, bitch, just stop with how bad I am and just let's get to the facts. Today is Thursday, June 5th, whatever the date was, it's 7:20 p.m. I agree that I will never contact you again in any way. Do you agree that you will do the same? Yes. I said, say it. Say it, bitch. Then she said it. And I said, now say your name. And she said her name. I said, now say the time. And she said the time. And I said, good. What we have now is a binding verbal contract, which I have on tape, and I do have it on tape. And I said, now goodbye forever. Goodbye forever. After all we did for you. I said, oh, do you really want to start this whole long diatribe again after all you did for me? All you can come up with is the fact that when I was in financial straits a couple of times, you bailed me out, and we paid you back. Because Fried and I went back through and looked at our records and looked at and saw that we paid you back every dime that you claimed we owed you. And now all you can do, rather than reach out and say, maybe we've had some problems, let's try to just make it water under the bridge and try to make the last couple of years you have on this earth pleasant. Now, instead of that, all you can do is threaten me. And I've had it. I've been waiting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long to take the gloves off and just tell her all of this. And I felt like Tony Soprano yelling about his mother. So I'm sitting in the parking lot in front of whatever the store is at the mall, and I'm just screaming into the telephone, you terrible bitch. You have no idea who you're effing with. You are effing with someone who is so torn up inside about what you've done that I would do anything to get revenge. I mean, I was really... She said, I can't believe I'm hearing this from you.
Mm-hmm.
I said, believe it, bitch. Believe it. This is what you've done to me. You've driven me crazy. Now, live, die. I don't care. Leave me alone! And that's how it ended.
Well, it sounds like that's closure.
When she hung up. So I believe that would be the end of that.
And hope so.
I don't think we're going to have to...
Hike her up.
Man.
Wow.
So the whole thing... And the reason that I had the reaction that I did on Thursday... I've not gone deep in depth with you guys on this, but when I was growing up, like when I was going through the stuff in Providence and making $75 a week and spending beyond my means and having my car repossessed, well, my mom and dad would help me out of those situations, but they would also write letters to my boss. You know, the same crap they pull with my brother.
Oh, geez.
And you don't know how embarrassing it is when, first off, you're out there, you're on your own, you're trying to make it, and you're not making it, and it's nobody's fault but my own. I was effing up. And they would help me out, but then to balance helping me out, they had a letter to my boss.
Ouch.
You know, Gary Berkowitz getting in the a letter in the mail from my mother.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
You know, I got to get called into the PD's office, and he says, well, I got a letter here from your mom. Says that you're in trouble with your Sears credit card.
Wow.
So,
wow.
The reason I had the reaction I did last week was that all of those memories came flooding back.
Sure.
That she thinks she can still push the same buttons with me and get the same reaction. She can still manipulate me the same way.
Sure.
And the truth is, she can't. And I do pray for them. I pray that, well, first I pray I never see or hear from them again. But that in some weird way they find happiness.
Yeah.
Because they are two very old, very mean-spirited, very uncompassionate people who are compulsive liars. Mm-hmm. And the main people that they lie to are themselves.
Mm-hmm.
One gets the other going, and that's how they make it happen. And I never thought I could be that mean. You know, despite what you hear on the radio, I'm really, really not like that in real life. I on the radio, you can say anything, and it's a show. And
right.
Frankly, I don't care what you people think, because I'm doing a show. And if you think I'm a jerk, yeah, I don't care. You're listening. You're giving us ratings. That's all I care about. I go home at the end of the day and go, that's a show. They don't know the real me. Well, this was the real me. And it was. I have never lost it with any human being to the extent that I lost it with her. Just screaming into the phone. Listen, bitch. Listen, you stupid, hateful bitch. And she, God bless her, she stood in there battling me out, you know, with her measured, grandma-ish-like voice, you know, to the very end. You're just the goose that laid the golden egg. That's all you are. You're a disappointment. Call your father and tell him you're a disappointment.
Wow.
And I said,
that's pretty ill.
So you want me to call
him? Think of it. You know, if she has to think about anything, she should think about a mother saying that to a son.
Mm-hmm. You want more, as she would tell you, she's not my mother. She wants me to call my adopted father to tell him I'm sorry that our relationship has gone poorly.
Mm-hmm.
The means to the end of her getting that is to send me a letter
blackmailing him
to work, saying, making up stuff, and then when I finally pin her down on exactly what it is, it's where you bounced a check.
Right. Wow.
Well, you had
so blackmailing you with a fictitious name. I mean, a name that means nothing. Yeah, a bluff. And then bringing up stuff that was 20 years ago that you've already talked about.
I said to her, if you're talking about a child, who's the mother? And I'd be willing to take a blood test at any time. But it seems to me that if I had a child out there, especially now based on the fact that I've been married 22 years coming up, this child would be 23 or 24.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think I would have heard something from the mother?
You would think.
At some point? Well, she's nuts. She's just freaking nuts.
And I think it's over now, probably. Hope so.
I think so. I don't know what I can do legally. I mean, I can't stop her from writing me or trying to contact me.
Right, right.
But I do know that she does listen to this show. And I do know that she gets, if she doesn't get it where she lives, it's close enough where someone relays it or somebody calls her up. So just know this, again, Francis, that everything that I've said today is true. Even the bad stuff that I'm saying about me, that I yelled at you and called you a bitch and told you that you're heartless and that you're cruel, all of that stuff, I said it. I'll take whatever responsibility there is for it. But I did mean this. Just leave me the F alone. Because what you don't know is that every time I get in a situation and I meet people, they ask me where my parents live. I tell them, my parents are dead. And that's true because, A, I don't know who my real parents are. And second, you two old pathetic losers are both dead to me. So why don't we make this work for all of us and let me be dead to you as well? And just leave me the F alone. I want you to call him and apologize. For what? For being a bad son.
Wow.
For being a disappointment.
Mm.
Okay, I'd be glad to, after the letter you sent me on Friday.
Crazy bitch.
You absolutely crazy.
So did she hang up at the end?
Yeah, she hung up on me, and I didn't call her back, because right. I got the thing on tape. And, you know, then I'm thinking, oh, God, I've effed up the show, because I've talked about this, like, for 2 days, and people think, you know, who's going to listen to this, and I shouldn't talk about it on the show, and I got to focus on my kid's graduation, and I got my wife's birthday coming up. Yeah. But I was able to put it behind me. I think I put it behind me now.
And that's you seem as though you have freed yourself of that a little bit.
Yeah, well, a lot
that was
of that,
not the case on Thursday.
No, a lot of that stuff, you know, as mean-spirited and as cruel as they have been to me, whether they've meant it or not, I've never taken the gloves off with right. them. I've never taken the gloves off. And I still haven't taken the gloves off 100%.
Right.
I still have.
Well, it's sad in a way. It right. is pathetic. It really is. And hopefully the message was delivered. I'd venture to say your brother probably has never confronted them the way you did.
No, and my brother, as I mentioned, has to hide.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want them.
Well, because he's not in the financial position where he can, you know, really stand up for himself.
Yeah, I mean, he's living with someone and living under, you know, mail goes to a P.O. box and the phone is to a different person's name.
Right.
The reason being so that these crazy people don't try to track him down and ruin his life, too. Right. You know, just because they're... And the nuttiest part, and this would be my final words on this topic, so everybody out there is sick of this, you could be very happy to know this is my final word, and I brought this up to her. Don't you think you're a little bit crazy when I meet people who I haven't seen for 20 or 30 years, who you've seen recently, and they say to me, hey, we saw your mom and dad, and they're so proud of your success, and they think Bart's a wonderful guy, and... They think Frida's great.
That's weird.
It's like, you know, cuckoo, mm-hmm. nutty, lying to yourself, lying to others. Why not tell people the truth? My brother and I were adopted. When we found out we were adopted, we came to you and we said, we'll love you as our own parents. Please tell us the truth. You couldn't handle it. And you flipped out. You lost it. And you said things that you can never take back again. I give you, genetically, we're not your kids. We're bad seeds. That's why nobody wanted us. They were two little boys. You were two little boys that nobody wanted. You should be glad that we took you in and gave you a home. Christ, I would have rather have lived in an orphanage the rest of my life.
Amen.
But I'll tell you this, you dumb bitch. The one thing you did give me was ambition. And for that, I thank you, because you gave me the ambition to get the F out of your house. Why do you think I moved out when I was 16? It wasn't so much because I loved radio, which I do, and I was glad to get a job. I had to get the F away from that. I just had to get out of there. So anyway, they're nuts. And F you. You crazy bitch. Seriously. I wouldn't wish that on Jack Diamond. I really wouldn't.
Right. Now that's saying something.
I wouldn't wish that on him. So I got past all of that and
good.
Got home Thursday night and did what I shouldn't do. I had to mix myself with nice... big drink and just sat in my room and kind of stewed about it. And, you know, my wife, who's great, came in and said, what's wrong? And I just pretty much said, leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
And which was the wrong play because she just wants to help. And right. I just said,
she's affected by it.
You know, you'll never understand it. You'll never get, you know, you got a family. I don't got a family. Blah, blah, blah. So it wasn't the woe was me. And I snapped out of it, though, on Friday for my kids' graduation and had some wonderful... Road rage. Tell you about this weekend and had a birthday thing for my wife because her birthday was Saturday and I didn't want this whole thing with my family to F up her birthday. And
you were attacked by a trash can?
Yeah, I'll tell you that too. I'm not proud of that. That's like something from America's most moronic home videos. Thank God nobody was watching. But anyway, thank you for listening. This hopefully will be the end of this saga now.
Right.
That, you know, she's played all of her cards now. They're all played and, you know, goodbye. See ya. And then the only other thought that I had was, well, you know what I should do is I should change my name. This was something I was thinking, really, that, you know, I'm going to change my name. But once again, my wife, who is got a lot going, she said, well, now, why would you do that? Because our son associates that name with you, mm-hmm. and our son thinks, you know, you're a great guy, and I think you're a great guy, and just because you think the name means everything bad doesn't mean that the rest of us do. So
you for your son put a positive on the name, and I think that is your name and not their name.
So that's where Frida's great, where she says, like, you know, let's just stop this feeling sorry for yourself. You finally told her to F off. You finally told her everything you wanted. Now, you know, just deal with it. It's your name. Think about, you know, think about somebody beside yourself for once.
Right.
And then, oh, geez, that, now that's a novel idea.
But
and it would be the first time I've ever thought about anybody but myself.
But if you ever do, you know, want to change it, I there's one I've always thought would be good.
Go.
Mike Chesapeake.
I'm going to keep it. But anyway, that's the upshot with those two. So, you know, there's no kids, there's no threats, there's no nothing. It's just an old pathetic broad. We should just dig a hole and die today. Bitch. You bitch. the people that were coming into the mall.
We're hearing that?
I had the sunroof open.
Oh my
God. I was getting looks. Because, I mean, I was beyond out of my mind, screaming into the phone like, I don't want to do it now because I'm afraid I'll blow my voice out, but I'm screaming into the phone, you know, do you hear me, bitch? Listen, bitch, you have no idea who you're effing with, bitch. Refer to me as sir. You will answer to the name of bitch. Mother bitch. I mean, it was nuts.
You got it out of your system.
Yeah, I did.
Many years worth.
There you go. All done. So.
Well, good for you.
I feel better.
Good for you.
Yeah. I know what you've been through. And
you feel better?
I do feel better.
Good. Then we can move on. I got some happy stuff about the weekend. I've got some stuff that was stupid that'll amuse you at what a moron I am. And then we'll dive into this stuff with Frida and Charlie.
Both of our greatest fears come to the forefront. Yes, I used to say Laura and Charlie all the time.
Frida went to Lisa's bridal shower. Right. She's marrying Charles Broyhill.
Right.
We got that. Oh, we also got Cheryl's gay pride thing.
Oh, good. Oh, fantastic.
Cheryl the Big Dyke. So now that everybody's issues are done with, Buzz, you got any issues?
Yeah, but we don't have time.
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, look what I found. Grandpa's old radio. Oh, wouldn't it be grand to gather around and have a listen?
Well, turn something on. I'm starting to think.
The Don and Mike Show.
You have any idea how much therapy you people need?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Oh, and I'm going to believe this thing to say.
America's favorite coconut-headed MFers, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
The bad stuff is out of the way.
We're all done with that now?
Yeah, the good stuff is, for me, and the reason we weren't here on Friday, and thank you for allowing us to take that day, was that my kid had his graduation. He made it through high school, graduated with a really high GPA, and the ceremony itself was fantastic. For my taste, even though it's my kid, way too long. Just way, like 4 hours is just way, way too much about all of the other kids.
Yes.
Now, maybe if my kid was one of these real over-the-top, make-the-world-a-better-place kids, he would have gotten one of these shill awards that they were handing out. He didn't, so you would have to sit through the other kids who got the shill awards and, you know, listen to the teacher talk for 10 minutes about what a great...
They would be shill awards if your kid had gotten one.
Well, no, I maintain it would be a shill award, and I would have felt the same way. It was like, okay... So my kid or whatever, whoever else's kid.
Yeah, I must respectfully disagree with you that you would have been you would have called it the its major award.
No, because
fragile.
Here's the thing. I'm all for kids getting awards in high school, but it's like everything in our society now. You know how there is the Oscars and the Emmys and the Grammys and there's the
we love to congratulate
and
each
there's
other.
The MTV. Well, now there's not just a class valedictorian. And there's not just, like, a student of the year. There are eight different awards. There's the Jack of the Year. There's the Humanitarian of the Year.
Right.
There's the kid that cares most about the teachers of the year.
I received an award in my graduating senior class.
Was?
Class clown.
Well, now, they didn't make you stand up and get it, did they?
Unfortunately, it was their bad judgment.
Okay. What I'm saying is, for every one of these things... You had somebody giving a speech, then the kid coming up, and then you've got the band playing, and you've got the alumni coming up, and you've got... Anyway, my kid's senior class, they did a great, great prank. At one point, the headmaster, and I'm going to call him a principal from now on.
All right.
Because that whole headmaster
thing... He's out
be,
now, right?
Yeah, it's on, the principal.
Got a little freedom now, huh?
The principal stands up, and he's giving his speech... About virtually the same speech I guess he gives every year about how, well, there have been ups and downs with the class of 2003, but we've seen them through and that there have been times of tribulation. And at one point, all of the kids together, all of the boys together, they all take out headphones and put headphones on and look directly at the headmaster. It was their way of saying... just my interpretation, their way of saying you're boring, and we don't want to hear what you have to say. But as it turns out, the way it was timed in his speech, it almost appeared that they were doing some... Because he was talking about how this generation of kids doesn't listen, and it's a give-it-to-me-now generation, and they have short attention spans.
Nice positive speech.
Sure, yeah, but, well, it was not the most positive... graduation address I've ever heard.
Wow.
But right as he got to the point about these kids don't listen, and you'll hear that they have short attention spans, he was getting to the point of saying, these kids are not like that. But as soon as he started with, then, you know, this generation, they don't listen, and they multitask, and they all pulled out headphones and just looked at him, and he didn't know what to do, because the parents all started to laugh, right? Everybody's cracking up. Then a very long and tedious ceremony, and being as, you know, my real last name is S, starts with S.
Oh, boy.
Of course, he was, you know, all the way at the very
end. But, of course, even if he was at the beginning, it's not like he can leave.
Just as bad. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's only perfect for the parents that are right in the middle.
Yeah.
Because then you have the build-up, and then you see your kid graduate, and then... Well, the rest of them, you go, like, I don't care, I'm cool. He's made it.
He's made it.
She's made it.
Enjoy the moment.
And then they got...
Did you get emotional?
I'm afraid I did.
Yeah.
I'm afraid I did.
Good for you.
Because, you know, at one point he was sitting in the front row, and I just looked down there and gave him the old thumbs up,
mm-hmm.
and he just looked back and gave me the thumbs up, and... I had the waterworks going.
Good.
Just a little bit.
That's healthy.
But I had sunglasses on, so, like, no one could tell.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got this thing where they, like a tradition at the school, the Landon School that Bart went to, they say, now the class of 2003 will leave, and let's welcome in next year's graduating class, the class of 2004, just more, you know, more bull. And what you do is, as the kids that are going to graduate next year come down, a kid from, it was graduated, would shake hands, and it's like a passing of the torch thing, and then at one point they've got the entire class of 2004 sitting, and they say, now, ladies and gentlemen, we're proud to present the class of, and right as he's doing this, you hear my son's class, however many, hundreds of, the 100 kids, whatever it is, all of them screaming, amen, 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 like football players before a game.
Wow.
They're screaming amen because they're so happy
to be on their way.
To be out.
Right.
And it actually disrupted the ceremony where this guy is saying, now, here are our leaders of tomorrow, the class of 2000. Meanwhile, you hear very loudly from just 200 feet away, amen, amen, amen. And he, again, the poor principal, he doesn't know how to handle it because he's lost the crowd because the parents, hey, we're all loopy.
Right.
We've all been to this, going to the school for, in some cases, like my son and others there, 10 years at the same school.
Right.
It's like, oh, we're as ready to go as he is.
Let me out of here.
So he gets no slack from us. Then once the ceremony is done, then they've got this deal where you have to, all the seniors get in a receiving line. And it's really pretty much a chance, I think, just for the for boys to kiss girls that are walking through the line. But we're standing in this incredible CF line, worse than any concert or movie I've ever been to, that was just not moving. And I finally said to Frida, and Big Frida, who was there as well, I said, why are we waiting in line to go see our kid? Our kid, you know, because it's...
Why don't they... So they want you to congratulate all the other kids?
Yeah, and...
It's bogus.
I'm not into that. I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down the line and, like, the seven or eight kids that I know, I'm going to shake their hands and congratulate them. Then I'm going to go down by our kid. Hmm. And by the time I got down there, he said, oh, Dad, I'm so glad to see you. Do I have to stand in this line? And I said, you're a graduate. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do.
You're done.
I said, just come up and tell Mom and Grandma goodbye. So he comes up, and Frida was, of course, the boss. He goes, what's he doing out of line? I said, I told him he could get out of line. He doesn't have to stand in line for another 2 hours to meet people that he doesn't care about.
Right.
I mean, he's just graduated from high school. Let him. I said, he's on a pass. I told him he could take off. And to show you the value of a good education, here's the first thing that my son said to me after he graduated, and I'm very proud. He looks great, and he's got his diploma. He says, hey, Dad, would you take this home for me? This is his diploma. And I said, sure. He said, be very careful. That's a $200,000 piece of paper. and I said, I said, thank you for crystallizing the all of the sacrifices I've made.
That's good that he's aware of that number.
Yeah, it is. This private school. So he was out, and now it's beach week. It's senior week.
Very excited about
it. In Ocean City, and he's there, and Frida and I were house sitting with Bart and some of his friends, and she's going to be there for most of this week, and I got to go next weekend to help out. I'm on my way down to the beach, and I'm just getting off the Route 50 bypass. They got this thing in Salisbury now where you don't have to go through Salisbury anymore.
And zip right down to the beach.
Yeah, there's a bypass now, speed limit 65. Great, love that. So I'm doing about 70, you know, just loving life, thinking, oh, my kid graduated, he made it. Well, these two pricks come by, and they think that they're in the Fast and the Furious. They're like the typical prick kid that has, a Honda.
Yeah, a Civic that's all tricked out.
Yeah, and he's got it all tricked up, and he thinks that he's in this movie. And these guys go by me doing...
And the movie was this weekend, too.
Right? You know, I saw it. I've got thoughts on that, too. But they go by me doing maybe, and very conservatively, 110 miles an hour. Now, I got no problem with that. That's like the pot calling the kettle black, right? Mm-hmm. The problem I have is when you have to make a real sharp right-hand turn to get back onto Route 50 when you pass Salisbury on the bypass. As I'm making the turn, these two guys go flying by me, and one of them cuts right in front of me, and I actually have to fishtail a little bit, and I almost lose control. So we make the turn to get by the bypass, and we're pulling up in front of the minor league stadium there.
Oh, a little traffic light.
On Route 50, and there's a light there. And the kid in the Honda, as I am pulling up behind him in traffic, I see one hand come up through the sunroof, and he's giving me the finger.
Oh, dear.
So I pull up next to him, and I give him the finger back, and I roll my window down, and I go, hey, dude, keep driving 100 miles an hour on a curve. And he says to me, and I have absolutely no retort, he says, you are old and pathetic. And then he punches it. He's gone. Now, you know, what am I going to say?
Oh, God.
So I lose.
You didn't take the weight of your sport utility vehicle and pounce on him, smite him, pounce him heavily?
No, because I could see the headlines now, you know, old and pathetic disc jockey, you know,
kills kid in car,
runs over, you know, 19-year-old valedictorian,
which is what he probably was.
No, F that, I'll let it go.
You are old and pathetic.
That's what he said. You are old and pathetic.
Wow. So cruel.
So I get down to the beach, and my wife was at the shower on Saturday for Lisa.
Yes.
So I had some quality time with my son. I said, what do you want to do? Before his friends came down for senior week, said, I want to see Too Fast, Too Furious.
So he can tell people they're old and pathetic.
Well, and he got the biggest laugh of all about that.
Right. You know?
So
sure.
we went to see the movie, which is not great, but it's all right. It's crap, but it's okay. I didn't have a problem with people talking behind me in this movie. There was a couple behind me. I didn't say anything to them, but I just want to say, parents of the year, that they are two of the redneckiest redneckersons that I've ever seen. They're like Boomhauer and Boomhauer's wife. If Boomhauer's wife looked like Boomhauer.
Right.
We're in the 1 o'clock showing of Too Fast, Too Furious in Ocean City. And, of course, it's rainy and muggy, so everybody's going to the movies. Now, the movie's only rated PG, and I think it's a judgment call when you have a four-year-old, whether you're going to bring a four-year-old boy or girl to a PG-13 movie. And I'd even give them the benefit of the doubt. You think, oh, it's a movie about driving fast cars. What the hell? Well, at one point in this movie, and frankly, I don't care about giving anything away because, let's be honest, it's Too Fast, Too Furious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's not like I'm going to tell you the ending to A Perfect Murder or something.
Is there a race in this movie?
Mike, that would be giving away some plot.
Oh, sorry about that.
I'll tell you, at one point, they're torturing a cop, a rogue cop. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they take off his shirt, a big fat guy, and they strap him down to these chairs, and they have a live rat. And they put the rat on his belly. And then they put a metal bucket over the rat. And the guy's got one of those torches, like a welding torch. And what he does is he starts heating up the bucket. And he says to the guy, you know the thing about rats is that they, and it was a good bad guy, he says, they can't stand the heat. Do you know that your average rat could chew through steel? When it gets to be a certain temperature inside that bucket, and the rat can no longer stand it, the rat will start to chew through your stomach. And then he will chew down into your, let's say, your private areas. And who knows where the rat will come out. So as he's heating up this bucket, and the guy is screaming, ah, I can't do it, I can't tell you, I can't do it. And he goes, oh, the rat is biting me. Now, you don't see any of this, but
right.
there's a four-year-old kid behind us who is...
A four-year-old?
A four-year-old who is crying,
who's
saying, I don't want to see this, I don't want to... And here you go, parent of the year. Shut up. Just don't look. Look the other way. It'll be over soon. Shut up. We're trying to watch the movie.
Wow. You don't need a license to be a parent. Unbelievable.
And, you know, I'm not going to... Who am I? I get in too many fights.
I mean, really, what can you do?
And
I mean, it is tough. You know.
I get in too many fights in the movies anyway, so I let it go. So that's that. I'm old. I'm pathetic that I was at the movies. And then it's my wife's birthday, and I got the added pressure of my wife's birthday on Saturday.
Happy birthday, Frida.
Yeah. She's all ragged out because she's coming down after going to Lisa's shower, and she's already told me earlier in the day that she wants to celebrate her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I'm ready for a celebration or not. I was just... I was going to give her a gift and, you know, take her out to dinner. But I, as it turns out, did, you know, the wise thing, got the nice mushy card, wrapped the gifts myself, got a bottle of champagne, went out and got a cake, did the thing myself where you...
Wow.
You write on there.
The decorator.
I made the flowers and then wrote happy birthday, Frida. And let me just say, impossible to get 48 candles on that cake. Impossible, so I could only go with 24.
Okay, very good.
But when she
came, like the TV show.
When she came in, yeah, 24. When she came in the room, I knew, home run city.
Mm-hmm.
She came upstairs and was like, oh, I don't believe this is so great. And I said, yeah, I know it's great. Thank you very much now, but hurry, hurry, hurry. Change your clothes so we can go to have our dinner. Because I got reservations
right.
for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling you, I got one in the bank. Because I handled it perfectly.
Oh, good. Congratulations.
And we will now seg into the next topic. While we were at dinner on Saturday night, celebrating my wife's birthday, she was telling me about the bridal shower that she went to for Lisa Herndon.
Very exciting. I heard a little about this myself.
Well, Buzz, I heard a lot about it. And we're all going to hear about it now.
Excellent.
Because the stuff that Frida was telling me, I was double.
Did one of the fabulous Herndon sisters throw the shower?
I don't know which
the
one.
The famous Dee Dee or the famous Kathy?
I don't know which one did, but whoever did it.
I got a hug from Kathy on Friday night.
Hey, baby.
Oh, hi, sweet pea. I wish you were here.
Yep. As soon as I leave, of course, the weather's great at the beach.
No, that's not why. I wish you were here to help me be in charge of room patrol among teenagers.
Oh, yes. This we have boys and girls staying at our house for senior week this week. But come on, give it up. Who gave you the greatest birthday you've had in the last year?
You.
In the last year.
Yeah, right. You are so thoughtful. I just could not believe how lucky I've become.
Just tell me that.
Yeah.
She actually told me
that's
that.
Nice.
I mean, because, you know, in matter of fact, at the shower I was at, they had a book that got passed around that you had to write your marital advice in for Lisa. And so I wrote in there, when things are rough, just hang in there because they get better eventually. And things are, you know, it's certainly true. I mean, it's wonderful. You were so thoughtful.
Well, I sure do love you, and I appreciate all of your help with my effed up family, and you've done a great job with Bart. Did you hear Carrie's advice?
Yeah.
What is Carrie's
advice? Oh, yeah, wait a minute. That's three Carrie's advice.
Carrie's advice, at least what I heard, is always ice the bruise.
Yeah. Yeah. So what Carrie really wrote was you were supposed to put your advice on a happy marriage, and she wrote, there's such a thing as a happy marriage?
Oh, my God. Oh. We're out to eat Saturday night, and Frida starts saying to me, I learned so much about Charles Broyhill at the shower for Lisa.
Now, this is good.
Yeah, it was like being in the Twilight Zone.
This is good.
So as it turns out, what they did was they asked Charlie about 30 questions, and Lisa was supposed to guess the answer, if she knew what Charlie would answer.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we're going to have to break here, but when we come back, I'm going to share them with you. And Buzz, I hope Marcia didn't tell you too much.
No, not too much. Just a little. Just enough to be interested.
But I think, Mike, you'll like it because no one told you. You'll be able to play the game.
Yeah,
I can't wait. How much you know about Charles Broyhill.
Oh, good.
And I think you will be amazed at some of the answers.
He's a mystery man.
Some of the answers that are in this quiz.
Very good.
Baby, weren't you surprised by the stuff at the shower?
He is romantic. He is I think of now him like Fabio.
Oh, now don't give anything away.
Bob. Yeah, don't. But suffice it to say,
Art.
You were, what was that? Hello?
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, all right. Well, call me. Let me know when you'll be in and stuff. Okay, sugar?
No.
Grammy and I will probably get something to eat, maybe go to a movie or something.
No.
What?
You got to get the time.
No. Daddy's saying have a good time, and he loves you, Sugar Bear.
Things run so different when I'm not there.
Right. Well, he's a good boy. He came up and he said, can we take a nap? No. There'll be no napping on my watch.
You mean with his lady friend?
Napping all in the, yes, in the same room.
God.
There's no napping.
Wow. Well, can we take a nap?
A nap. We're very tired. We need to take a nap.
Let's take a nap with the door locked.
Well, anyway, thank you. That was a wonderful brush off you gave me there just a moment ago. But anyway.
Oh, wait a minute. One more thing. What, Bart? I'm on the air. I'm performing.
Mommy's on the air.
I'm performing.
Hey, put the graduate on.
What?
I won't do the deadbolt. Okay. Except for you burglars. Okay.
All right.
Bye, Bart.
Hey, is he there?
He's leaving. That's
for
all that.
Put him on for a second.
Barty, Daddy wants to talk to you for a minute. Can you pick it up in your room, sweet pea?
Yeah.
Thank you.
See, he now loves the radio. He does.
No, he said okay very resignedly.
Oh, he did?
Quite the imposition.
Yellow.
Greetings from Planet Frida.
Hey, congratulations, Bart.
Merci beaucoup.
Yeah, congratulations.
Oh, listen, my man, Cuz. That's our joke.
What's up, brah?
Anyone who's seen Too Fast, Too Furious, even Bart had to say, the dialogue was beyond moronic.
Hey, bro.
Hey, bro, what's happening? Bruh. Hey, Cuz.
What?
Cuz, my pockets are empty.
No, he doesn't say my pockets are empty.
What does he say?
His pockets ain't empty.
These pockets ain't empty. Well, listen, you all that stuff I told you in private, you know to do, right? I'm talking about senior week.
Which stuff?
You know.
The D&D?
No, D&D. That's good. I can even noodle that one through.
D&D. No, I never even talked about it. He doesn't D&D.
I know.
Right. I'm just saying, I can't remember what you were talking about.
He listens so good.
Yeah, what are you still doing on the phone?
This is D&D?
No, it's drinking.
Oh.
Yeah, drinking and driving.
No, okay. No, it's just been nice talking to you. Bye.
Okay, bye, babe. Anyway, act like you would if I was there.
Right, what am I not supposed to do?
You know, just make sure you tell Mom where you are. That's all I'm asking.
Right.
Okay, that's all. And how does it feel to graduate?
It feels pretty good.
It feels outstanding. Hey, I was talking on the radio about how all you guys put your headphones on during the ceremony.
Yeah.
Like that. And the reason you guys were screaming amen was?
Amen.
Amen.
Be done with school?
It's over.
Be done with school. You got it. All right, have a good senior week.
Okay.
All right, cuz.
All right. That it?
Yeah, that's it. Yes, that's it. I just wanted to say to you, it's easier on the radio than in private, so I'm not lecturing you. Just have the same set of rules when I'm not there.
Well, it's not like I'm going to be rolling a keg up in my room now that you're not here.
Well, I don't know. So just make sure you don't. That's it. Have a great time.
Okay.
And no naps.
What?
No naps.
The nap is a fine rule when the door's open.
No napping. No napping with girls.
I was going to nap with Kyle.
You faggot.
Bad, you should be more accepting of me.
All right, bud, I love you. I'll see you later.
TiVo queer as folk for me. Okay, bye.
Okay, I'll TiVo queer as folk. There he is.
There he goes.
Champion.
God, oh, that, you know, he says something like that. He does that kind of shtick, and it makes me realize the time, the clock on the wall.
Mm. Champion of
it. So do you feel all the pathetic now that your son has graduated high school?
No. Only because those kids pulled up next to me. Yeah. I drive a cool car, too.
Yeah, you do.
You know, how do they know I wasn't some guy's going to jump out and kick their ass?
Yeah. Because you rolled down the window.
Well, I guess they knew. Also because, and Robbie, I got to get this in fast because we got a break. I'm outside over the weekend. Mike alluded to this. I'm loading stuff in our garbage can. We got one of those big garbage cans on wheels, you know, the green, the big green kind.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I've got boxes in my hand, and what I'm doing is I'm flipping open the top of the garbage can to get it to open up so that I can just dump all the boxes in, and I flip the top back, and it goes backwards, and I hit it with such an incredible He-Man of the Universe strength, the thing comes flying back and caught me right on the bridge of my nose.
That's a thin piece of skin up there. That looks like you got whacked.
Yeah, and everybody keeps saying to me, were you in a fight?
Yes.
And I say, I'd love to say that I was in a fight. No, I was in a fight with my garbage can. And the garbage can won.
It just doesn't get any better than this.
There it is.
Do you understand? I'm standing...
It's a tough-looking scar, though.
I'm standing in front of the big green garbage can on wheels, and
yeah, you flip it open, and it flips right back and hatchets you on top of the bridge of the nose.
Wow. Nice big...
I bet that was a little painful.
It was, and embarrassing.
You see stars?
There's people around.
Stars?
Yes, I did. I saw Ben Affleck. I saw J-Lo. All right, Mike, when we come back, you're going to take the quiz.
I am so excited about this.
The Charlie Broyhill, Lisa Herndon.
And I'm going to predict, how many questions are there?
Oh, I don't know. There's got to be at least 30.
I predict I'm going to get at least a B+.
All right, we'll find out. And everybody at home can play along, too.
All right.
Yeah. You've heard Charlie on the show for almost
a while. I'm going to get a B+ on that monkey.
Let's see how well everybody knows the Cro-Magnon man. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
How can I ever repay you?
Well, a reward would be good. There is some damage to my car. It's a high-performance machine, so I had to fill up the premium.
Would you like for me to take your pants off instead?
Gee, let me think. Sure.
The Don and Mike Show. America's favorite damn dummies, Don and Mike.
Somebody finally gave me the information. Those guys in Baltimore on Live 105. It's Out to Lunch with Bill and Thrill.
Uh-huh. Bill and Thrill?
That's the midday show. It's pretty good.
Ooh, very good.
Pretty good. If I was running things here, I did for a while. I just didn't listen, so I quit.
Right.
Put that on middays. Just have Ron and Fez work 4 hours a day at night.
Right.
Because it's nuts. Having Ron and Fez come in for an hour, going back home for a couple hours, and then coming back and working 4 more hours.
It's nuts.
I mean, I know a lot of you around the country don't know. This is what's going on here at WJFK, or as it's referred to in the industry, laughing stock.
Oh, God.
Okay. Here we go. And about Baltimore. You just mentioned Baltimore. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to devote one break to Baltimore.
Right.
We're talking to Baltimore and about Baltimore. However, Mike, with the caveat that we're not using our Marty Bass voices. And I'll tell you why. The HBO TV series The Wire,
yes,
which is based in Baltimore,
right.
What they want from us is one break of us doing a radio show about Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
And you know, like everything, you'll end up just being background for 10 seconds. But,
right.
But at least they identify our show as being Baltimore radio.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, would you please do a segment? Rob, no, we can't do a segment called Where is Cal? It's just got to be a regular show. And they said, we love it, do anything you want, just please.
So we don't talk like Marty Bass, but we can talk like Don Scott.
They asked that we don't use those voices.
But Don Scott doesn't have a Baltimore accent.
Accent, not accident. That's debatable.
Don Scott talks like this.
But he's got
Scott has no Baltimore accent.
He's got a touch of it.
No, he's just Baltimore.
That's okay.
But he doesn't talk. Marty Bass has that. Hello.
Doesn't Don Scott have a little lisp, though?
No, he's got bad skin.
No, that's Stan Stovall has the lisp.
Well, let's kick him off the broadcast, okay?
Bad hair. Stan Stovall, who I think got fired from, was it 11 or 13, and now is relegated to doing the morning show at Channel 2 on the weekend.
Right. I read where my buddy, not my buddy, but my classmate, Derek McGinty, is coming back to town to do like a 7 o'clock Channel 9 show or something like that?
Good luck.
Hey, it's better than his last gig, I'm sure. His last gig was like World News Now at 2 a.m. or something like that, wee hours of the morning.
That's probably better than being on Channel 9 at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. And more about local TV, I don't know if you read today, they had the Emmys. The local Emmys, the Washington, Baltimore area Emmys.
Were no weathermen given Emmys?
Oh, no, Tom Sater won. The guy from Channel 5. But here's
I wrote a letter and said, please don't give any Emmy awards to the weathermen. They just listen.
Here's the thing. Have you ever watched, like, Fox, where at the beginning of every newscast and at the end they say, thank you for watching the Emmy-laden Fox 5 newscast, winner of 28 Emmys?
Right.
Well, as it turns out, like all of the radio stuff that we refuse to be involved with, it's a giant J.O.
Everybody gets Emmys.
No. To get nominated, you have to nominate yourself.
Right.
So, why doesn't Channel 7 have the best anchor? Because Channel 7, as much as it pains me to say it, has got some scruples.
Right.
And they don't nominate their people. Also, according to something I read in the newspaper today. So first off, if you want to get a local TV Emmy, like for TV news, you got to nominate yourself. Which to me, and I know you agree, we felt the same way.
Maybe
about,
we could submit our names and just sneak it in.
About the radio thing. You know, to win like one of these Achievement in Radio awards, you have to nominate yourself.
Right.
Now, what kind of an award show is that where you are, you're saying, pick me?
It's the Oscars and the Emmys. I mean, the real things. That's how they work. They nominate themselves.
Hey, did the Washingtonian stuff come out yet?
I have no idea.
Does anybody know?
Don't know. All right.
But the point here about Channel 5 is, yes, they did win some ridiculous amount of Emmys.
Did Will Thomas win any?
Yeah.
Yes, best female anchor, Mike.
And also, he modeled for the statue this year.
He got naked.
Him holding up the ball.
Right.
Hold on. Hey, Robbie.
With that pose.
Image?
Yes.
You know what I'm missing? Oh, no, I got it. Here we go. That's the car pages.
Guys.
Great. What is this?
That's yesterday.
It's Sunday's paper.
Here's today's style.
You got today's paper? Thank you. Okay. Listen to this. How ridiculous this is. Channel 5. Oh, and it's got the thing on Hillary. You got that in the news, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So we're not going to talk about that now.
Later.
Big dumb Hillary. I'm very mad. Thanks for the insight. I wanted to wring his neck.
I told you there wouldn't be anything in there. What did you expect? She's a senator. She wants to run for president. She's not going to give you anything.
I wanted to wring his neck. Really? You didn't want to kick him the balls? You didn't want to cut off his genitals?
That's not senatorial.
Right. You know that whole thing about I want to wring his neck?
Mm-hmm.
That's like what my wife says to me when I don't bring the trash up to the curb.
I could wring your neck.
That's right. Code.
Yeah. I could cut off your bees.
Hey. Listen.
Lick the bees!
He shot his goo all over a girl's dress.
Mm-hmm.
You expect something more impassioned.
I could have wrung his neck.
Ooh.
Anyway.
That cad. Oh, fudge.
Channel 5 cleans up again at Emmys. Blah, 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 blah. The reason Channel 5 won all of the Emmys is Channel 5... Channel 5 steamrolled through the local Emmy Awards Saturday night, taking home 17 statues. It's the sixth straight year the Fox station has led the pack. They won in many high-profile categories, including Best Anchor for Tracy Neal.
All right, that's a good choice.
Best Emmy for Evening Newscast.
Best Dress.
Hold on.
Will Thomas.
Best Evening Newscast for a major market, which was inevitable. Since it was the only nomination in the category.
Well, wait. I don't get it. Listen, I thought the Emmys, they at least nominated people.
The local chapter of the National Academy of Arts and Sciences, it is sciences.
Mm-hmm.
It is totally on the TV stations to nominate themselves.
Right.
There's not like a panel of blue ribbon judges. So, Channel 5 nominated themselves something like 30 times.
And that's a good PR department.
And they won 17. Now, I have more respect for the stations that said, this is bull. I'm not gonna nominate myself if there's a panel of non-inside my station people that are going to make an objective decision.
Right.
Let's go with it.
But does that mean that Emmy has once again overlooked Krebs and Harrison?
Yeah. Here you go. Channel 5.
The Fox, worst.
Fox 5.
Sunny outside, National Airport. Oh. I'm Joe Krebs.
Hey, I do like this, though, that there was something about George Gimble in here.
Lifetime Achievement Award.
No.
And the Emmy goes to...
George. Now listen, George Michael.
Back in 1903.
George Michael, stop it. Who,
inventor of the radon tube.
Here he is.
He's a good guy. You know,
back
George
when he
Michael.
Used to call the games at the polo grounds.
Anyway, he won the award for best sportscaster.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Best orange sportscaster.
Hold on a second. This is funny. There were no nominations for best sports anchor.
Really?
But WRC's George Michael did win for Best Sportscast. Good thing, because their entry was the only nominee in the category for Best Sports Broadcast. Channel 4 News Director Bob Long accepted on behalf of George Michael a perennial no-show at the local Emmys.
Way to go, George.
Good for you, George. Blah, blah, blah. We've never told him about these, Long said. About the statues that have amassed for Michael over 3 years. We have a huge collection of them. And
they don't tell them about it.
We forget.
Hey, I got those statues.
Ah, cockamamie.
Who knows that? Okay.
And now, here you go. The Emmy for Best Sportscaster goes to...
Our favorite George Michael tape right there.
Anyway, good for George, but, you know, kind of bogus. I mean, I watch Fox all the time, but Jesus Christ, it kind of devalues the fact that they run these promos after every newscast. What did he do? What did he do?
He wrote something down.
What did he write?
He said, George, forget to attend.
George is not that old.
I know.
He's only 70.
You participated in this last week.
I
know what you're doing. I know what you're doing.
No, you don't
you're
know
doing
what
the
I'm
Redskins
doing.
Thing this year. And you,
oh, no,
you're
you know
bump
what?
Into Georgia again.
No, you're wrong. I'm not doing the Redskins this year.
You're not?
Really?
No.
I just told somebody over the weekend you were.
Yeah, you know why I'm not doing it? Because this is the cheapest goddamn station on the planet.
Right. You really think that's going to go down that way?
They don't want to pay us.
Oh.
I mean, me and Kermit.
That. All right.
Hold on. Yeah, hold on. Oh. No, and I'm not worried about running into George. Hell, I was at the...
Hello?
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, what are you enjoying for lunch?
Well, this is just a snack. It's an apple.
Ah, any word from the man with many hats?
No, the only thing I got was, are you ever going to talk to me again?
See, here's the thing. I want to do the Redskins pregame show. I desperately want to do it, even though it'll F up my schedule and my wife is not for it. And Charlie wants to produce the Redskins games.
Nobody better.
They asked us back in December if we'd like to be involved with the Redskins broadcast. We said, yes, absolutely. I said, great. Well, they told us last week, we just don't have the money.
Right.
We just don't have the money.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, we've given them a deadline, and the deadline is next Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be exactly 7 months after they asked us if we would like to come back and work on the Redskins show.
You guys do a great job.
Yep.
And it's not, let me tell you something, we ain't talking about big FU money.
I know.
We're talking about, now what, Rob? Rob, what did he write down now, Mike?
When, Rob's getting me with these George lines.
You're right.
When George first did the pregame show, they paid him in frankincense.
But anyway, that's not why. That's not why. Listen, George is an old man. I'll say it.
This is what they were saying.
I have no problem saying that. And you think I was not saying it because I'm going to see him at the Redskins game.
Right.
But I got no problem with it.
We won't be there anyway.
Right, we won't be there.
Right.
Because Alan Linemon doesn't care.
Well, he does, but it doesn't fit into his schedule yet to care.
You should see one of the responses that Charlie got from an email. Sent him a letter. And actually, by Broyhill standards, it was pretty nice. It was, Dear Alan, Don and I need to know, mm-hmm. if we're a go for the Redskins season, because, you know, we have to, every single weekend is taken up with this stuff, and we'd like to know in advance, and Charlie's trying to plan a honeymoon, and please let us know by Friday, June 20th, or we're going to have to back out.
Which is only 6 weeks before the first preseason game.
Wow. And he wrote a very nice one-word response.
Nice.
Yeah. He sent back an email saying nice, as if to say, you know, hey, that's nice of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Except he didn't mean it. Like, it was nice. He was like,
right.
Nice.
Oh, there's a little tension around.
Right.
Huh.
So I don't know if we're doing the Redskins or not this year.
Oh, wow.
Okay. All right, Charles.
Won't mess up my honeymoon.
Nope. And you're going to have a great honeymoon based on these questions and answers I have.
Oh, I can't wait.
All right, I'm going to start it right now.
Okay.
Okay. Bye, Charles. I got to do a break. Yeah. I got one question before we go to break, and I promise we'll come back and we'll do this. Are you ready, Mike?
I am ready.
These are questions supplied to me, given at Lisa Herndon's...
You have the answers also?
...shower. The deal was they asked Lisa questions about Charlie that Charlie had answered... in advance. Mike, let's see if you can guess Charlie's answer. What is Lisa's favorite place to vacation?
Lisa's favorite place to vacation? I will say Ocean City.
Close, but not exactly. How about Charlie's favorite place to vacation?
Home.
No, I am sorry. Lisa's favorite place is any place warm.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie's favorite place to vacation is any place they're together.
Oh, God. Very nice. Jesus Christ.
I think we're going to need the puke sound effect.
Oh, God. Wow.
Okay?
Wow. Oh, my God.
Stand by.
Wow.
Plenty more of Charles and Lisa as we count down to the wedding.
Hey.
Just like three weeks away from now. I'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts today for a delicious and refreshing Coolada. It's the perfect treat for any time of the day. A frozen drink available in coffee, strawberry, orange, mango, vanilla bean, and
Rob.
New lemonade. Just
Rob.
The thing to keep you cool this summer. Prices
Rob.
And participation
Hi.
May vary.
It's Rob on a commercial.
I know.
Now listen, everybody, hurry, because the special offer for Singular we're going to tell you about ends June 15th. So call Singular Wireless at 1-866-SINGULAR.
It's a big promotion they're running for Dad's Day.
And Grad Day.
That's right. Now, you've already had Grad Day, but you've got Dad Day right around the corner.
So do you. And so does Buzz.
Yes.
With his cats. Right now, buy one color screen Nokia 3560 phone for $29.99. Get a second one for free. After the $50 instant rebate when you sign up for a 2-year service agreement, get one for your dad and another for your grad.
Plus, on plans starting at just $39.99 per month, you can add a family talk line for just $19.99 per line per month and call each other for free with unlimited mobile-to-mobile calling.
Certain restrictions apply. See any Singular store for details.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I can't remember being surrounded by so much happiness. I'm so happy. I can't wait to come back tomorrow.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the munders.
It's where wrongs are righted and rights are eliminated. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello there, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Yes, I was listening to you guys talk about the Emmy Awards.
The local?
And yes. The local ones. And I just received one this Saturday for the Baltimore Ravens for Best Sports Live Programming.
Well, you sound like an Emmy winner, sir.
You do?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir. And it's a little more than I've also judged for Emmys as well, and it's a little more than just nominating yourself.
Yes, explain.
Well, you pay for to enter the.
You won an Emmy?
Yes, sir.
Well, for being a dumb sounding guy.
And you paid to enter?
No, the Baltimore Ravens paid. Every company pays to enter.
What did you win an Emmy for?
Kickoff, Ravens kickoff. It's a preseason game.
Now you couldn't be on. You couldn't be an on-air person.
I am not on air. I am behind. I'm behind the scenes.
What do you do?
I'm associate producer. I do ENG sound for them, and I also.
Regardless of what you're saying,
technically, did you win the Emmy?
Yes, I did.
By name, they mentioned you.
Yes.
But
five producers.
But it's even worse. It's one thing to nominate yourself. How ridiculous is that? But then you have to pay for it?
Yeah. No. You just like any contest, you pay to be able to have the ability to enter.
No. Not like in any contest. You don't have to pay to enter any contest.
Any award?
No,
the industry.
You're funny. Really?
Okay.
What other awards do you have to pay? I mean, I know that there are Jive Radio Awards that we don't participate in because we think the notion of nominating yourself is pretty presumptuous. But tell me of another one, another major award where you have to pay yourself, or your company pays.
The Web Awards, which are another award. Not the Webbies, no. There's an award called
The real Emmys, they don't pay.
Well, yeah, they do. The production company enters that into there.
I want to say you're a brilliant and very, very timely spokesman for the local Emmy Awards. Thank you for setting us straight.
Well, no, I'm just trying to, as a winner of one, I'm just trying to defend
as
it.
As a winner of one?
Winner of two of them. Stop. Actually, thank you very much, winner of two of them.
Winner
the past
of two?
2 years, I have won. And the Ravens have won 10 of them in the past 7 years.
10 of them.
You are the biggest retard.
Not just anybody.
I was a big fan of your show.
Oh, you were, and now we've lost
now
you?
Now you're not?
Formerly.
Now you guys are being jerks. I mean, why should I listen
to you? Well, no, you just don't sound like an Emmy winner. You sound like a guy that maybe barely got out of high school.
Your enunciation is awful.
And it's the way
really?
You expect.
Okay, I'm an artist.
Your command. Your command.
Excuse me?
Your command.
How old are you?
Of the language.
27 years old.
Leaves a lot to be desired.
What do they hand, like, your whole broadcast? You all get, like, 7 Emmys?
I don't doubt that you, that you in fact, have won 2 Emmys, and perhaps you're very good on the technical side. But when it comes to being a spokesperson as to debating the points that we were bringing up about why we think this is bogus,
you're kind of funny to listen to.
Dude, you're, like, retarded.
And I'm driving here, you know, trying to find a place to walk.
And I understand that driving and speaking is incredibly taxing, especially for an Emmy winner.
So you won an Emmy last year?
Yes.
And you won an Emmy this year?
Yes, sir.
And what was the category, and who were you nominated against?
We were nominated against, this past year we were nominated against nobody, so we unequivocally won.
You probably, how
did you win?
Unequivocally.
So you were nominated against nobody, which means that
that does not mean nobody else entered. That does not mean that, because this is the other point that I was calling to say, is that I have judged Emmys as well.
Hold on, just a second. You were the only people who paid to be judged, and you
that's
had
not
no,
it, though.
And you had no, but you had no competition.
No, that is not the case at all. As in the 2000 year, there was no nominations in any sports category at all.
There was no nominations in any sports category at all.
In the year 2000, there were no nominations for any sports category.
Do you do any writing for the broadcast?
No, I do not. I do all the technical stuff. I do all the technical stuff for it.
Listen, congratulations.
And I also administer the Baltimore Ravens website.
I think not only are you a testament to what it takes to be an Emmy winner, a local Emmy winner,
right?
You are also an excellent spokesperson for the
Emmys themselves,
for the entire process, and how proud your fellow Emmy winners must be. But I think you totally.
I still don't understand the bit about it. He was the only one nominated, but there were other people nominated.
Well,
can
I explain that a little bit?
Well, try, because you haven't done a really good job so far.
Okay. As a judge of an Emmys, there are about 15 different
Emmys.
I have judged the Emmys. I've been on a judging panel for the Emmys. And what you do with that is you sit in a room and you watch about 15, 20 tapes, and you put scores to them. There's a standard.
Of course.
A 1 to 10 standard.
How can you perhaps be a little more concise?
Creativity, content, and
how is it?
You were nominated, and you say there were other people, but you were the only ones that won.
We did not judge ourselves. They're judged by out of town.
But there was no competition in this category. You were the only show, or
we go against the Redskins report. Those lovely Redskins.
You said that you were the only ones nominated.
We were the only ones nominated, but we were not the only ones that entered. You enter, and then they have a nomination dinner where they announce all the nominations.
I see. So you can throw an F. Well, why wouldn't they nominate everybody? That doesn't hurt. Why wouldn't they nominate more people?
Maybe the Redskins wouldn't pay.
Well, you know, Daniel Snyder's a very
cheap guy.
So is that what it is? That the people that don't get nominated don't pay the money?
Yes, very much so.
Crap! Then that reinforces argument.
George Michael has like a $10,000 budget for the Emmys. So he pays all this money to enter 10 million categories.
George Michael didn't enter.
George Michael's Sports Machine won a couple of their producers.
Wait a minute.
Won.
Wait. You're saying you can enter and not be nominated?
Correct. You can enter. We entered about five different.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. I would think that you would pay the money when you enter.
Yes.
Well, then what? Then why isn't everybody nominated?
Because it's fitted that way. It's not like you can pay for the award. You pay for the chance to get nominated.
Listen, no matter how you're describing
like
it, the whole thing is...
Yeah, it's
ludicrous. The whole thing is bull.
Yeah.
The only award that would matter, I would think, would be an award from your peers where you didn't have to... Please hear me out. Where you didn't have to nominate yourself, blow your own horn, and second... Where you didn't have to pay a fee.
I don't understand is if you got two shows that pay a fee, how come they're both not nominated?
Because there's a standard. There are peers that sit around in a room, a group of five people that are all in the industry.
But do you understand what I'm saying?
Watch and have standards. So
but if there's only two,
suck.
But if
some
there's
people just. Because they have, they
Mike, listen, not everybody,
an idiot.
Not everybody can be an Emmy winner like our friend here.
Yeah. It makes no sense to have an award show where there's only one nominee. Because there's no suspense. And if the other shows in your category took the time and spent the money to enter, they should be nominated too.
Why? If they're not as good, why should they?
Well, when you have the Oscars, there's certain movies that aren't as good. But they're
right.
Still nominated.
And yeah, because somebody watched it and thought that it was good enough to enter. You know,
I think there's the problem is guys like you on a nominating committee. Like, you don't understand what an award show is all about.
Exactly.
What is an award show about then?
Giving a chance for
what
people
did you
to
win?
Choose between
what?
You and somebody else.
What Emmy did you win?
Sports programming, live coverage.
You know what? I'm realizing right now we're arguing with this guy and we are being completely duped.
You think so?
We are being completely duped and I just figured it out. Yeah. You're not an Emmy winner.
Yes, I am, sir.
No, you're not. You're a kid. You're an
I'm
idiot
a kid.
Kid. Yeah, you're an idiot
no.
kid.
That's funny.
I don't see the category
because
here.
Because this is some, like, college student.
Do you have what do you have in front of you? Do you have the book in front of you? The program?
Excuse me, Emmy winner from
yes,
today's
sir.
Washington Post.
Okay.
Emmy Award winners for 2002: news program, news programs, program station image, special sports, news series, sports, editing general segments, photography live, documentaries magazine format, editing sports, audio studio remote, children's programs tape. Program segments, public affairs, news segments.
And if he won for the Ravens, he wouldn't be at the Washington Emmys.
No, it's the regional Emmys.
It's Washington, Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sportscast, host, interviewer, editing, public affairs, acting, performing, announcing. Sports program.
Live.
All right, what is your name?
Brett Dorman.
Now, it does say sports programming live coverage. Kickoff, Rave TV. Larry Rosen, reporter, and W. Donald Dorado, Lauren Taubman, Brett Torman, and Pete Hawk, producers.
Mm.
So it's a very good chance that this moron is an Emmy winner.
What is his name?
He said Brett, his name was
Brett Dorman.
Brett Dorman, and the name is...
It's in there?
It's in there.
Thank you.
No, but you're a...
I'm not trying to lie to you guys. I just wanted to say something else, but it's not like something.
But
it's
you're
not
an idiot.
As bull as you guys are saying.
You're an idiot, and you've won a you have won a prize that is devalued.
I'm an idiot. You just talk about circus stuff.
Don't use the F bomb there.
You have done more to indicate to us that the Emmys are valueless. The local TV Emmys are valueless.
You've hurt the cause.
It's not like the national Emmys where you have, you know, wonderful categories with four choices. You're telling me that some peer group sits there in a room, a local peer group, and boycotts certain shows.
And you want...
I think it's fixed.
You're on...
It's not local.
I think the fact that you've won for 2 years in a row is proof positive and listen, that it's fixed.
Congratulations. you won a useless award that you had to pay for. You won a useless award. Have you ever won? Have you ever won an award where you didn't pay an entry fee?
Oh yeah.
Really, name it.
In college, of course. I never know a professional award.
In the real world.
And I'd like to know where he went to college. Where did you go to college?
I went to Villa Julie College.
Pardon me?
Villa Julie College. It's a school in Baltimore. Started video.
What is that? 13th grade.
What is that like? Is that like a correspondence school?
No, it's kind of like geared toward it as a vocational school.
It's a vocational school.
But it's not. No. I don't say it like that. I say it like that.
You went to a trade school. You didn't go to college.
The vocational school.
No, I did not. I'm not trying to represent Village Holy College like that because it was a 4-year college and it actually, they now offer.
And for some people, it's an 8-year college. Listen.
So you went to a 4-year trade school.
Listen, point well taken. You are an Emmy winner. You're right. We're wrong. We stand in front of you and we say, listen, you have won the pinnacle, the most achievement you can win in your industry. Congratulations. You're right up there as far as I'm concerned with the cast of Friends.
I mean, why? No, it's no wonder nobody else was nominated because, I mean, you're the best. You're the pinnacle. Why nominate anybody against you?
Exactly. Mike, when it's hopeless,
right?
Why go?
Right.
Why even have the...
Why try?
Why it's even hopeless. Have the prize?
Why pay the entry fee? And incidentally, what is the fee that you have to pay to enter yourself?
I think it's $150 per person that you nominate. That you enter.
And what's the value of the statue? What would maybe $9?
No. It's a nice little. It's a thing statue that those people, the Friends, and all those other.
And now you've got two, and like all your coworkers have two.
No.
The guy that the guy that duct tapes down the cables. Did he win one too?
No.
Good.
Okay. We actually do the grunt work, the production. Travel with the team and. We work with them 6 days a week.
We are honored to be in the presence of an Emmy winner.
Really?
And someone who, listen, you may tell your friends that you were on this show.
I feel so wonderful about the local Emmys now after talking to this guy.
You sure. Set us straight.
It's Brett, right?
Brett.
Yes, sir.
Brett Dornan.
Two-time Emmy winner
at the tender age of 27.
And keep in mind this great accomplishment. Mm-hmm. This year, for his work with the Ravens, not only did he win a second Emmy, there was no competition, and he paid $150 to enter.
Good work.
That is.
No, but I didn't pay anything. That is the key.
That's right. Your producers did.
But somebody did.
No, my bosses
did. Your bosses did. The company that produces the show did.
Was he blessed to win back-to-back?
Are you a two-year in a row winner?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Good luck on the three-peat.
You're a phenom.
Next year it's three. Are you any relation?
Next year it's the National.
Any relation to the famous congressman, former congressman, Bomber Bob Dornan?
No. Because it's Doorman.
Oh, it's Doorman.
Yes.
Like looking into his future.
No, I did that in college. Hey,
my friend?
Looking into his yes, sir.
Can I tell you something?
Yes, sir.
Think about this tonight.
Okay.
Jerry Seinfeld has only won one Emmy.
That's right.
And you,
Bob Dornan,
have won two.
Brett Dornan.
The difference, I guess, being Jerry Seinfeld didn't pay for his. But congratulations anyway. And Jerry Seinfeld actually had some competition. Other people in his peer group.
Can I ask you a question about your desk?
Yeah.
At your desk, do you have any sort of miniature ball? Like a baseball, a basketball, a football, any type of miniature ball.
Yeah.
How often do you? Hey, Mike, knock it off. I have a little football on my desk.
Good stress reliever.
How often do you rotate your Emmys? Now that you've got two of them,
you could use those Emmys for bookends. If only you had some books.
Have you named your Emmys?
No, I haven't named him yet. I'm not that weird.
How about Dumb and Dumber?
I reserved that name for you guys.
How about...
Hey, what a good comeback that was.
How about Fake and Not Real? How about bought and paid for?
I like that. That's a good one. Are your co-workers equally proud of their Emmys like you, Bob Doorman? I'm sorry, Brett Doorman?
I'm sure they are.
Do you take them, like, to bars?
No, don't do that.
All right, well, listen, you've set us straight. There he is, Emmy
You
winner.
Have put us in our place, Brett.
Local Emmy winner, and how wrong we were to speak of the local Emmys in such a bad light, Mike.
As Brett has explained to all of us, it is a grueling, exhausting process that really, really separates the cream, and you see people like Brett rise to the top.
Thank you, noted idiot Brett. We've got a break now. Thank you.
I'd like to thank you for letting me have a nice car ride.
Okay, Brett.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's my time.
Okay, take care, Brett.
Bye-bye.
I'll keep listening now.
Oh, hey, Brett?
Yeah.
Boom.
Bye-bye. That was fun.
Emmy.
That was fun.
Emmy.
Emmy.
I got an Emmy.
Award.
We got a break. We still have got Elisa and Charlie Fang. Hold on, please. Emmy.
Emmy winner Charlie Broyhill coming up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And in my club, I will splash the pot whenever the f*** I please.
The Don and Mike Show.
Do you have any idea how much therapy you people need?
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
I'll just talk about the local Emmys.
Yeah.
Joining us now, Emmy winner. And as I mentioned, I said it before we have him on, I'll say it now. I love the fact he didn't go. He never goes. George Michael.
Hey, George. Yeah.
Don and Mike, this is dangerous for my career.
Here he is, everybody.
Hey, George, right. It's been too long. How are you?
And Don Geronimo, I remember you before you became a star. Mike O'Mara, well, I used to see you at AU.
Yeah. Yeah, we go back a long way.
Now, George, I'm watching you. Well, before I tell you about watching you, let me tell you, congratulations on the Emmy.
Thank you.
I know that. And tell me if I'm putting words in your mouth, George. It's bogus because you have to nominate yourself for an award. And I know that you probably don't want any award that you have to nominate yourself for.
I didn't do it, but someone else did, which I appreciate. That was very flattering. And I respect the Emmys. I respect them. I really do. And it's unfortunate that someone made a big deal about the fact that I'm not there because I simply don't go.
But George, isn't the whole thing, and I understand, you got friends in the industry and everything, but isn't the whole thing kind of jive that you have to nominate yourself?
Well, in fact, Don, other people within your organization can nominate you. And that's what happened here. The truth is that Wally Bruckner's won them. I've won them. Pat Lackman, the writer. You know, guys know Pat. She's been writing this since she was at ABC.
Lady Lackman.
Lady Lackman. What God didn't give her, she doesn't need. Anyway, moving right along. That's out of my book of the 10 most erotic things to say to a woman you want to keep happy. Moving right along.
Yes.
Which I know you guys can relate to. The fact is that Jeff Greenberg, the producer, another AU guy, and Lackman from Villanova, they both get Emmys because it was for best sports cast, which was really great. That means the best writing, best production, and the talent, you know, he did what he did. The fact is, guys, the Emmys, the only way they can do it is the way they do, and that is to have people within the organization nominate, and then other people judge it, and it becomes a winner or not.
But, George, why wouldn't it be like back when you were a DJ, for instance, the Billboard Awards, that there would be a panel of guys, a panel of radio, quote-unquote, experts, who would say, we've listened to a bunch of radio around the country, and these are the guys that we think deserve to be nominated. The guys that were nominated, I mean, I won a couple of those awards and never sent in my own tape saying, please nominate me. And I know you won tons of DJ awards, right?
I won the Billboard Major Market Disc Jockey a couple of times. It's a nice award. It makes you feel very good.
Yeah.
To think that people like, I'm going to throw out a few names, but legends like Jay Cook and Dick Biondi would put your name in for you to be a winner.
Right, and I felt the same way, but I didn't nominate myself. And I understand your point that you didn't nominate yourself. Somebody else at Channel 4
right.
nominated you. But if it really came down to them coming to you and saying, George, do you want to be nominated? What would you say?
Oh, I'd say no, thank you.
See? That's what a pro says.
You know, guys.
Have you ever gotten nominated with the National Emmy for the Sports Machine?
We won quite a few. Lackman won as a writer, and I won as best host the National Emmy.
And that doesn't work the same way, does it?
No.
No.
In fact, I don't even know how that works. I got a call asking if I could be in New York on such and such a day, and I said, for what? And they said, well, you've been nominated for the National Emmys.
Wow.
So that was very nice, and I must tell you that to win it is very humbling, and because there are so many people that go into making it work. But, you know, don't knock the Emmys. I think that it's a way to acknowledge and recognize people who have done good work.
Well, all right, I'll try to take your advice.
You know what?
I have a hard time.
We're just jealous.
I have a hard time. I don't care. Not even.
I want an award, damn it. I've been doing this for 19 years. I want an award.
What have you won so far, Mike?
I won the Bobby
Most
Poe.
Most times suspended and still come back to work again?
No, it was actually Bobby Poe, the Major Market Air Personality of the Year, and I was very happy with Bobby Poe.
Bobby Poe's good.
Yeah, Bobby Poe's a nice award. I never won a Billboard, but, you know, and watching,
I have.
And
I
watching won. Tony and Magazine.
I won Small Market, Media Market and a large market Billboard.
Well, good for you.
But they matter not.
Right.
I mean, and George, my whole point with
and
this
of course
is that
I forgot to mention the fact that I won a Tony.
You see, you see Channel 5 on their news running these promos saying thank you for watching Channel 5, the station that won the most Emmys. Well, they won the most Emmys because they nominated themselves the most.
George, I'll ask you one question just to kind of clear this up. It depends on the organization, right? And the organization that gets in there and plugs and hustles the most for their people can get their people nominated and hopefully get their people the most Emmys, right?
That's how you get the most nominations. If we would have put, I'll make it real simple. If everybody in my department in sports, if they all would have submitted their best work, then we would have gotten a lot of nominations, I would hope.
All right.
But we don't do it. We don't do it.
Because you're pros.
Well, we're just not going to spend the money. But, you know, please don't knock the Emmys. I think they've done a tremendous job of trying to recognize good work in television, and that's what it's about.
It's a special year. It's going to be a very special year. Also, George, I'll give you the heads up when the Red Sox go to the World Series this year.
You are on drugs once again.
Hey, George, guys. Yeah.
Let me leave you with this thought. Have you contacted the French embassy to get a formal apology for the booing to Serena Williams?
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Here's where I stand on that, George. I'm not opposed to that. I think she should just suck it up and say in the press afterwards, hey, I had a bad game. I got beaten.
No. She got booed unreasonably because she's an American.
That sucks.
F the French. George, let me leave you with something.
Yes, Don.
I'm watching you the other night on Channel 4, as everybody does, and Grady, you know, Jim Vance, I'm going to call him Grady. He looks like Grady from Sanford and Son with all the gray now coming in. He will not let you get a word in, and I like him being a part of the newscast, but here's the thing. For whatever reason, he's rooting for New Jersey.
Yeah.
And George is going through the highlights.
Mm-hmm.
This is before Game 3, and saying, you know, San Antonio is the team to beat. And meanwhile, you got Vance who's just sitting there saying, well, I said I think it's New Jersey. And George finally says, I'm going to have to take away your speaking privilege. But the thing is, George, they don't really do it. And what I want to know is, when are you going to have enough tenure there when you're going to say, I want Jim Vance's speaking privilege taken away during the news, and they're really going to do it?
The same day that you say, I want Michael Mara's speaking privileges taken away.
So it's that kind of deal.
Gotcha.
I think I understand. All right.
Gotcha. Anyway.
We are an inseparable team.
You are. It just sometimes, you know, I mean, let's face it. You're right about the Spurs. You're right, and he's wrong.
That's a sentimental choice, guys. I want to tell you, the Nets are the team of the future if they can keep Jason Kidd. But I really believe, I just would love to see this for David Robinson and for the classic guys on the Spurs. They're a very unique group of individuals in a sport which basically is run with prima donnas and out-of-control, maniacal, egomaniacal individuals. The Spurs are truly a team.
All right, then last question. Tonight when you go on Channel 4, are you going to turn to Vance? Are you going to turn to Grady and say, hey, well, what happened to your Nets?
You've already read my script.
All right. Emmy winner George Michael.
Yeah. Thank you, George.
Gentlemen, always a pleasure with Don and Mike. There goes that career.
Thank you, George.
Bye, George.
Bye-bye.
There goes George.
checking in from Leisure World.
I like George. We, you know, we poke fun at George about a bunch of stuff, but he is a good guy.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Big friend of the show.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Very true. Hi.
Hi there. George Michaels, the big sports expert, didn't mention that Serena Williams was mocking the French and made a joke about them surrendering, so that's why they were booing her.
Oh, she did. More power to her.
Yeah, I know. It's great.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
No, thank you. Oh,
then I stand corrected, too. All right, listen. You're going to have to listen tomorrow to hear the Charlie and Lisa.
Oh, you are disappointing legions of Charlie fans who will have to wait till tomorrow.
Well, we got to get to the news now.
I understand that, Don.
And we've also not heard Cheryl the Big Dykes report from the Gay Pride Parade.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff we're going to kick over to tomorrow.
Hey, Don and Mike, we're going to do it like they do it on the Discovery Channel. It's so festive. It's cleared up. Not raining, and we're so happy and queer to be here.
Cheryl the Big Dyke at the Gay Pride Parade. We have all of her takes from that, and we've got Charlie and Lisa's thing from Lisa's shower.
Very
and,
good, Geronimo.
And tomorrow, Almira. tomorrow, you know, I won't have my baggage. You won't have your baggage. And well,
yeah,
you try not to have your baggage.
I'll try not.
I'll leave mine at the station.
I'll try not to.
We'll come in tomorrow and. We'll do like a regular show starting at 3. Yes. What? Why were you looking off wistfully?
Because I was thinking. When you say that, you get me thinking about all my stuff again.
Oh, my.
I did. That did it.
Sorry.
Your thing. Yeah. That little thing I was telling you about.
And when Mike says his thing,
yeah,
he needs his penis.
I know. Which I think about wistfully.
Oh, tomorrow. Don't forget tomorrow also the break about Baltimore.
Yeah.
We have to tape an entire segment so they can use it on HBO's The Wire.
Are we going to be ourselves?
I think we should. I really do. I mean, otherwise they're not going to use it.
Right, exactly.
It's going to be, the way it was explained to me, if you've seen scene where these guys are sitting in the car, they're on a stakeout.
Get the bad guys.
And one of them actually says, you know, let's turn on Don and Mike.
Really?
So it's like we're going to get a minute or so of radio time on HBO.
That's cool. Hello, Baltimore. How's it going?
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his
people. What's up, B-more?
He made it up.
Time for an ice-cold Natty Bow.
Buzz, what is your lead story on the news and comments today?
Today, so much Hillary, you'd think she's running for something.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, and I've avoided that topic today because I know you have it on the news.
Now's your chance.
Oh, brother. Jesus Christ. You know, can you blame Bubba? Can you blame him? I was watching her last night. Just, oh, Jesus Christ. I could wring his neck. Really? Is that
prim and proper?
Is that the best you can give us?
She's acting presidential.
I could wring his neck.
Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
He like number three all over Monica.
She's acting presidential, and he's just saying, "Bobby, just use your hand."
That was all very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What the hell is that? That is a $100,000 stock car with a top speed of 200 miles an hour.
The new home of NASCAR, 106.7 WJFK.
Making the right career choice is important. The United States Secret Service is currently recruiting applicants for its uniformed division. The position demands integrity, a great work ethic, and appreciation for teamwork. Uniformed division police officers are responsible for protecting the president, vice president, and visiting world leaders, as well as performing a variety of law enforcement-related duties. To learn more about this excellent career opportunity, bring your resume to the U.S. Secret Service Job Fair this Saturday, June 14th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Renaissance Washington, D.C. Hotel, located on 9th Street Northwest, Washington, D.C. That's this Saturday, June 14th, from 9 to 5, at the Renaissance Washington, D.C. Hotel. Applicants must be between 21 and 36 years of age. For additional information, contact the Secret Service Washington office at 202-406-8726 or visit our website at www.secretservice.gov. The Secret Service is an equal opportunity. Okay.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Mike Show.
If you please, their show is filled with blood and cheese. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I don't believe what I just heard.
Not a national spot.
Oh, yeah, right. Hold on a second.
Whenever we play something that's got a little bit of soul to it.
Tell them if Sabian's not here in 20 minutes, you die.
Just ran a commercial on our flagship station on WGFK.
Mm-hmm.
The Secret Service.
Wow, cool.
That they're looking for people.
Spies.
I'm ready. It's a funny concept.
Yeah.
The Secret Service is looking for recruits, and they're running commercials on our show.
That's cool.
Homeland Security.
But you know what? I think the people that listen to this show have the right stuff.
It doesn't make me feel good about our country.
We have Emmy winners.
That's what they want you to think.
Well, what about the guy that won an Emmy?
Right. He could be an agent.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to be. I've always wanted to have that little thing in my ear and run around and wear sunglasses and a dark suit.
Anyway, who am I to say? You know, a spot is a spot. And thank you, Secret Service, for buying time. Mike, don't forget, just hours now, I'm proud to announce this. Again, just for those of you listening on WJFK, Mike and I are very jealous of the deal Ron and Fez have.
Yes.
We have agreed now in principle, Mike and I will work every morning from 5 until 6 a.m.
Yes, for that very important 5 to 6 a.m. hour, and then we will be back with our regular slot at 3 o'clock.
3 to 7.
We're
that's
doing that
great.
For the good of the company.
Yes, we are.
That's fantastic. We're going to see how tired they are when they come in.
They'll be fine.
We're going to get up and work 5 to 6 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
then go home with just enough time to start to relax, then come back and do our regular 3 to 7 show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was thinking for a minute.
All for you.
Right.
Nice.
Okay. It was a joke, everybody.
Yeah.
I know some people are actually going to think.
Hey, how about that? I've been waiting. My commute starts at 5 a.m.
Hey, you know what Rob was telling me?
What?
Lisa's got to say, we don't have time for it today. Like everything on the show, we didn't have time for it today. But on Friday, when we weren't here because of Bart's graduation, one of the segments you ran was the jumper on the bridge.
Yeah, it was like maybe kind of a long time ago, like 3 years ago, there was a jumper on the American Legion.
I remember that day.
We got a call from Vera Abruptly at our traffic center saying, please run a disclaimer. Tell people this is a recap. Metro traffic control was flooded with calls.
Oh, cool.
It was people who thought it was really happening.
Yeah, I guess that best of thing at the beginning doesn't work for some people.
I don't listen much or well.
Anyway, I thought it was funny. And Lisa's got a... somewhere she got a voicemail with some guy that was irate.
Wow.
What was it? He got a speeding ticket?
No, he did a huge, long detour, and he wants us to pay for the extra gas.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, you'll hear it tomorrow. We'll play it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, tomorrow we've got the gay pride tapes.
Right.
We've got Lisa and Charlie's wedding quiz.
I'm looking forward to that.
So much. Buzz and news brought to you by Viramax. Sexual pleasure
nice.
And performance enhancer.
Someone call for a doctor?
Doctor developed, clinically tested. Veramax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, and other select retailers. Try it today. Veramax 1-888 Try VMAX. Now here is Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. You would think people were waiting in line to buy hot concert tickets, waiting in line with their wristbands, but no, they were waiting for Hillary Clinton to autograph her new book.
Click.
Barnes & Noble says it will be their top-selling nonfiction book of the year. 1 million copies have been printed so far. That's a lot for
click,
a book
click,
these
click,
days.
Click.
The book went on sale today. The former First Lady is getting $8 million for it. Now she's at book signings and on TV, ABC, NBC, CNN. And despite the Hillary mania, she says she has no intention to run for president. It may be for the best. 53% of us don't want her to run. 44% of us like her, but 48% of us don't like her.
See?
But A&E wants to make a made-for-TV movie out of the book.
I heard this. Now, this will make you vomit.
What, the casting?
Yeah. Mike, guess who?
Would play Hillary?
Have you heard?
No, I have not.
Guess. Hillary, I'm going to tell you right now. Set the bar way high. You have to suspend disbelief when you hear the actress.
Young or old actress?
In between.
Good actress or bad actress?
In between, but very hot.
A hottie?
Yeah.
I mean, it's impossible to put you on the spot. Just
Gladys Knight.
Buzz, it is?
Well, it's not Sharon Stone. They wanted to talk to Sharon Stone about the role. Sharon Stone not interested, so they've had to move
on. Stone?
Sharon Stone?
That's what I heard on MSNBC today, that it was Sharon Stone. I saw.
Who's going to put on the makeup?
They'll have to
put her in, like, alien makeup.
They had a split screen with Sharon Stone on one side and Hillary on the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, they were thinking, Hillary must be so flattered. They were saying,
I would think so.
Flattered. I'm like, what planet are they from?
Sharon Stone.
Sharon Stone says she's not interested, so now they may be talking with Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City.
What are they thinking?
That's just as bad.
I mean, oh my God.
Hello, McFly, Bulletin. Both those girls are hot.
Yeah, Brett Butler.
Roseanne.
Roseanne. That's really? The other side, though. That's... I like Brett Butler.
Going too far. We're like Roseanne after some lipo.
You get serious. You get that serious.
I am. I'm serious.
Roseanne
after some lipo.
Right.
Campaigning.
Bell, I could wring your neck. I was mad.
Good news and bad news about HBO's The Sopranos, mostly bad news. We haven't seen a new episode since December, and word is we won't see any new episodes this calendar year either. None. We hear February, maybe March of next year.
It's all right. Lost interest.
Yeah, I have to.
Count me disinterested.
That's what I was going to say. The good news, perhaps, is that there may be more than the usual 13 episodes when the show does return, if anyone is still interested by then.
There's a show that's coming on Showtime. It's a relationship show. It looks pretty
out
good.
Out of Order.
I have seen it.
It is incredible.
Is it really?
A great show.
You know, that's the one I want to watch, and it's on Showtime. It's already on?
Fantastic. Great story. Yeah, and I'm sure they'll repeat the pilot.
All right.
Great story.
Is that the thing with William Macy?
Great nudity. Yeah.
Really, really good cast and lots of sex.
Killer show.
Yep.
Anyway, about The Sopranos, creator David Chase was expecting to wrap up the series with a story arc in the upcoming fifth year, but now he says he's not sure he can squeeze it all into 13 episodes. Filming got off to a late and rough start this year because of the holdout of star James Gandolfini.
Oh, come on.
But quoting Chase, now it's going real well.
Here you get Sharon Stone to play Hillary.
He's the first
what are you, gay? AJ needs Rogaine. AJ's losing his hair.
He's so old.
Oh, that's an aging joke.
So much time has gone.
We were doing that before with George.
Hey, you know who would be good, though, is Hillary, and I mean this seriously?
Kathy Bates.
You'd have to get her to lose a couple of pounds.
Yeah, but that's no small task.
Well, you get her on the lipo.
You're making her too fat. You're making Hillary too fat.
Get her on the lipo. All right, here's another one. What about Ellen DeGenitals?
To play Hillary?
Yeah.
Too goofy.
Yeah, too, like, bird-like.
Okay, well, you give her that Mrs. Doubtfire stuff so that, like, her ankles get real big like Hillary's.
Here we go. You know, really?
Okay, come on.
I'm not joking either.
Then why are you laughing?
Because you're going to laugh.
Yeah.
Erica Slezak.
Yes.
Vicky.
From One Life to Live.
Couldn't Vicky do it?
I hate to say this. She's too pretty.
Oh, wow. You never thought you'd say that.
She's too pretty.
No way.
I want to write that, and I can't say this because it'll hurt somebody's feelings.
We don't want to do that.
But I swear on my kid's life that I think this really is the person who looks. Don't you think?
There's a similarity.
If she cut her hair?
Yep.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Someone who works here.
That would work.
Just someone.
Show me breasts. Yes.
Someone who works here. Someone who works here. And incidentally, happy BYDTW, everybody.
Amen.
Happy bring your dog to work. Today is bring your dog to work.
I didn't know I would have brought a dog.
Yeah. Well, right now, there's a lot of Hillary.
Someone who works here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, heck, I'll say it.
Mm-hmm.
I love her, Miss Bobby.
I know. She loves you.
She brings her dog in all the time. It's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
It's just nuts. You come down the hallway, and there's a big dog coming down.
It's a sweet dog.
Giving you big, slurpy dog kisses.
Yeah, very friendly dog.
It's weird.
Right now, there's a lot of Hillary, but that'll change as summer progresses.
Put that dog in a box.
As summer progresses...
I don't mean, like, put it down.
I mean, like, bring a kennel in.
Oh, like
crate?
Yeah.
Put it in a box.
Oh, let it run free. There's always that chance that it might, you know, go number two in Allen's office.
But it never does. It never does. That's the problem.
Because it's not well trained.
There's never a payoff with that dog. It's just a sweet mutt dog.
I'd like to see that dog make a little dog do.
Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, wouldn't that be fun? What is that?
Dog urine everywhere?
Everywhere.
Remind us of Weva.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that's no dog.
Well, there's a lot of Hillary now, but that'll change as the summer progresses with the release of the new Terminator movie. After that, we'll find out if Arnold Schwarzenegger is running for governor of California.
I want to answer to governor because I say it's good for, you know, the people to see the Terminator and then elect me to the governor's mansion.
Now, this is maybe.
You got a question?
This is maybe.
Yeah.
Just something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
When Bart and I were in the audience of Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yeah, that's a good movie. Not as good as Terminator.
And that movie made like, what, $50 million this weekend?
Oh, it was crazy.
It's
going
to be a paltry sum when you consider what I'm going to make. My movie will make hundreds of millions of dollars the first weekend.
$52 million.
It was full of kids. Theater's full of kids.
Sure. Yes, I like the kids. The kids like Terminator.
I was, as always, old and pathetic in this theater. When Arnold came on.
Did you go with your son?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when Arnold started speaking in the trailer, and especially when he said,
she'll be back. She'll be back, Sarah Connor.
People were laughing,
mm-hmm,
and they weren't laughing in that way, like, oh, yeah, that's a catchphrase we've heard before.
I don't understand.
They were laughing in that.
You're saying they were mocking me?
That sarcastic way,
I predict my film would make 110 million marks. Deutsch Mark. Thanks. You're going to come and see it, Buzz?
Oh, I'll be there.
Good.
Absolutely.
Sure. Why not?
Why not? Have a good time.
After the release?
I'm in the scene. to ask.
After the release of The Terminator this summer, we'll find out if Arnold's going to run for governor of California in 2006 or sooner.
Of course I will. I will run for governor because I demand to have a guy that's in touch with the people who can speak the language.
Well, as I told you before, he still has to check with his wife, but expect him to run. He told Esquire, if the state needs me and if there's no one I think is better, then I will run.
Are you kidding me, Maria? She's a skeleton.
He has also hired a political advisor.
I have.
At the taping of the Stunt Awards, which air tonight on the USA Network.
Yeah, that's the best guys that set themselves on the fire and jump from the tall buildings.
I bet there's a guy out there somewhere who has won a Stunt Award.
A Stunt Award, yeah. That'd be great. Like that Emmy winner. He was a smart guy.
Well, Arnold says a stunt is a slowly controlled crash like the California state budget. You'll hear him say that on the show tonight.
Yeah, it's like the California state budget. That's my joke. So, are you ready to vote? Vote for me, Arnold, in the governor's mansion.
More great quotes. I'm the kind of person who stays on message. Right now, the message is after school programs. After that, the message is go see Terminator 3. After that, I can talk about the other message.
That's right, which will be vote for Arnold.
We got a break.
Says yay.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Mike, you're looking to pamper someone for a birthday.
I am.
Cheer up someone who's not feeling well. Maybe your dad. Do something fun and different for Father's Day. Send him an erotic pajamagram.
This is a fantastic erotic gift idea for Dad. He'll receive the softest pajamas along with a free lavender bath tea and gift card, all delivered in Dad's keepsake hat box.
Now, of course, the copy says, you know, send her, but now...
Yeah, I know.
Father's Day is the holiday coming up. They have the brands that he knows and loves. Nick and Nora, Crabtree and Evelyn. And
or Evelyn.
Yeah, I think it is Crabtree and Evelyn.
Evelyn?
I think it's Crabtree and Evelyn.
I've only been saying Evelyn for 20 years.
Buzz, am I right?
You're right.
They're a sister company of Vermont Teddy Bear. So they trust their quality and on-time delivery.
Yes, call 1-800-GIVE-PJs.
JeffGraham.com. Tell them Don and Mike sent you.
Don't you run a moment like a man.
Thanks.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I got
Raj, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
They talk too much. Don and Mike.
Folks on the network, you're missing the real show.
Mm-hmm.
When you miss our fabulous live reads,
they're special sometimes
for our live commercials.
Right.
Now here's Buzz Gertley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. In Minnesota, St. Paul police are talking to Jesse Ventura. Seems he had a run-in recently with a protester outside the TV studio where he's still rehearsing his upcoming MSNBC talk show.
I'm the effing governor.
Not anymore, actually.
I know, but I always will be.
Yes.
Buzz Burbank.
Governor Ventura.
Smart guy.
This protester, an environmental activist, was upset about Jesse's use of the studio.
Fag.
The protester filed a police report saying that Jesse threatened him.
I'll break your butt.
And then grabbed one of his signs and tried to destroy it.
How'd you like me to take your bag? I'll pull on your bag.
Hey, dude. Back off now.
I ain't gonna back off. You know what I ain't? I ain't too, what is that line?
Too proud to beg?
To bleed. Ain't got time to bleed.
I ain't got time to bleed.
That's what it is.
Ain't got time to bleed. I want an Emmy.
Local police and prosecutors are looking into it, but they say they don't expect to file any charges.
I'm going to hit him over the head with a northern pike. That's a big-ass fish.
Yes, it is.
That dude is beating me with a fish, man.
That's right, and then I'll pry its mouth open and put your bag in its mouth and close it so its teeth bite your bag.
I'm going to have to beat him off with a fish.
Ooh.
You, dude.
Now we're talking.
And while Jesse continues to rehearse, Chuck Woolery is ready for his upcoming reality show on the Game Show Network.
There you go. He's the man.
The show is called Naturally Stoned. It's named after a song Chuck Woolery and his band performed in 1968.
Joe.
Talk about a cult following.
Naturally Stoned.
The show will mix footage of Chuck working on his Game Show Network program called Lingo and...
Joe.
Scenes of Chuck and his family on a ski trip.
But what does that have to do with being stoned?
Nothing.
You know what it is? I'm sure it's one of those, like, Up With People songs where he was naturally high.
Yeah. Joe.
If you want some friendly advice, a haircut and take a bath. You wouldn't get hassled so much.
Joe's not just a name. It's an idea. Fathers expect more from a kid named Joe.
Joe. Joe. Joe. Joe.
Don't get high.
Joe.
Chuck and his band Avant-Garde actually recorded and released that song, Naturally Stoned, back in 1968, and that's what he's decided to call his show.
His band is Avant-Garde?
Avant-Garde, yes. Quoting Chuck, I think if it's done as biography meets Comedy Central, it might have a shot. The show will air Sunday nights this summer.
Right.
It's taken nearly 2 months, but Luther Vandross appears to be coming out of his coma.
All right, here he is now. Let's go live to Luther's... hospital room?
Yes, please.
Turn on the satellite.
He's stirring.
He's doing better.
Oh, thank God.
No, look at that. Those tapes are not funny. That's not funny.
The singer was found on...
Seriously.
Yeah, I know it's funny.
Here's Luther Vandross.
Okay, good.
You judge for yourself.
Moses is probably my favorite character in the Bible. He has weaknesses and strengths.
I wish he could.
And that's what I like in the character.
I wish I could say he's doing that well. The singer was found on his apartment floor back in mid-April. He cannot sing again yet. He still cannot even speak. But he can shake his head yes or no.
Yay.
This awareness returned about a week ago, but he's still not totally conscious.
No, negative. What? He said, Luther, how you doing?
Greed is good. I mean, he was so charming the way he said it with the hair slicked back.
The 52-year-old is still in critical but stable condition in a New York hospital's intensive care unit. He's still in a respirator. No word on when he'll be out of the hospital, but his new album comes out tomorrow.
I enjoyed the movie. I thought Spartacus was better, but then I'm prejudiced.
In sports, quarterback Brian Griese has signed with his dad's team. Brian passed his physical today and signed a 2-year deal with Miami. He's now second string for the Dolphins behind Jay Fiedler. His dad, Bob Griese, led Miami to 2 Super Bowl victories. And finally, crooks are still stupid,
They don't.
Are you afraid to laugh at those Kirk Douglas tapes?
I ain't afraid of nothing.
Then laugh out loud.
No.
Me not afraid.
No.
Finally. Kirk says,
I think it'd be very brave if you laughed out loud with the rest of us.
No, I think he was very brave to go on camera and say that. I don't find anything funny about those tapes. Not one little thing.
This man is lying.
Finally, crooks are still stupid, and they don't get any smarter behind bars. Dateline, Indiana, Pennsylvania.
Now.
What?
Both of you.
Rob, behave.
Extraordinarily brave, Mike.
I agree, Rob.
In Indiana, Pennsylvania, a teenage inmate at a Pennsylvania state prison had to be chiseled out of a toilet after he stuck his hand deeply into it.
Hey.
The 19-year-old told the guards he didn't believe the other guys when they told him about a previous con who'd gotten his arm stuck in the John a few months earlier.
Joe.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show. Sorry, we're out of
time. Hey, dude. Your hand smells like ass. Smell. Hey, dude, what is wrong with that guy?
You want to play it one more time? You're looking at Rob like you want to play it one more
time. He's already put it away.
Oh, dear. I'm sure he can get it quickly.
He's fast as lightning when he's motivated.
Right, yeah.
Hey, dude. This dude today down in the cell block put his hand all the way down the toilet. Listen, isn't that right, dude?
Spartacus was the most important thing I did in my career. Because Spartacus represented a man who wanted freedom.
That's Ruben Studdard, dude. I take it back. That's Luther Vandross, dude.
There it is.
Okay. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Oh, okay. Did you say?
I did.
Oh,
yes,
I'm sorry. Well, then.
It's time to get out of here.
See you tomorrow with all the stuff that we didn't get to today.
All right, then.
If we had done that today, I'd have to plan a whole new show for tomorrow.
That's right.
But now tomorrow's in the bag.
I wish I was brave enough to laugh out loud.
Yeah, good day to you, sir.
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 Thank you. And Rusty.
Done. Goodbye. BM.
Peter, Tim.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.